Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's more like the physique of a punctured tube of cookie dough. I am a Rob's sister, Nino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. It's our feedback show here for week number 6 of Survivor Island of the Idols. And I'm very excited to have back with us here on the feedback show, here she is. Of course, you know her from her work co-hosting on the MTV reality Rehab Ups and several appearances recently on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Please welcome back the great Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
Rob, I'm honestly so sorry because nobody's more disappointed than you that I'm on here this week when, like, the best episode of the season happens. You definitely asked me here because you expected it to be a nonsense, nothing boot. And then, unfortunately for you, here I am to discuss the most important episode of the season.
Well, so far, it's most important so far, and we can only hope that they get more important. But I'm thrilled to have you back here because that you always have a take. It's never indifference, and we have a lot to get into.
Yeah, I'm disappointed then if you're not disappointed, because I truly prefer to make something out of nothing. It's hard for me to deliver when there are expectations involved.
Okay, well, all right, the stage is set. We'll see. Set whatever expectations you want going into this episode of the podcast. So we have a lot of stuff to cover. Busy weekend for Allie talking to me, coming on the heels of your podcast co-host, Brian Cohen, getting married. Congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Brian Cohen.
Yeah, that became a big story. I was finishing the Davey podcast today. It was like 10 minutes on why we couldn't record on normal time because of Brian's wedding. That's probably the most play Brian's gotten on a podcast that was not ours in a long time.
Yes.
Maybe ever.
How was the wedding?
The wedding was great. And honestly, though, it might mean the end of the MTV Rehab Up because I told Brian's mom this and I told Brian this. Like, we've been podcasting for 5.5 years, but like, I don't know Brian. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I know him, but I got a peek behind the curtain of him being like a real person. Mm-hmm. He's really in love. They're a beautiful couple. It was so sweet. I like can't be mean to him anymore. I think the podcast is dead.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say that there was like this whole part of his life that people knew nothing about and that it felt like, what is this meaningless to him?
Oh, the podcast. Oh, I didn't talk to anyone. Here was the thing. I went in. I knew no one besides his mom and him. So, like, I'm not going to hang out with them on the most important day of, like, their lives. Mm-hmm. I did have some great moments with Plainview Sue, though. I'll save that for my podcast because she's a celeb over there. One funny thing, though, is, like, I went in, like, all right, I'm going to, and I know you heard Akiva training me on how to be the least important person at the party. Mm-hmm. When he subbed for Brian a few weeks ago on MTV.
Yes. But
so I was like, all right, I'm going to go in. I'm not going to look at anyone. Like, I'm going to pick the least. I just kept trying to pick like the least important seats for myself so that I was like not in the way. However, just like at Live Know-It-Alls, I accidentally ended up like front and center to absolutely everything. So I know no one will believe that I didn't want to make it about me, but I really was trying. I went into the beautiful venue for their ceremony, and I pick the seat furthest from the aisle in the second to last row. So mm-hmm. like I'm there, boom, by myself on the end, far from, I could barely see anything. But when they walk in to walk down the aisle, they're like smack dab looking at me on their way in to get the shot. So I am like trying not to make eye contact with anyone, but I accidentally have a very prime seat. Mm-hmm. Then the speeches are happening. The best man, his brother, Emily's best friend, the bride's best friend, the father of the bride. It's beautiful. Where are they standing? Directly in front of me. So I'm in the background of every video taken of the speech. I just like couldn't be more in the way. So but it was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. 10 out of 10. It was fabulous to see. It's the death of my podcast and I'm embarrassed about taking up too much space, but otherwise it was fabulous.
Okay. All right. Well, very happy for Brian and you said Emily?
Yes, Emily.
Yes. Okay. Well, we do love all Emily's in the world of RHAP.
Emily.
In her vows, she said that he was her HOH and her sole survivor.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
pretty, like that.
That's really nice. Okay. Allie, before we get into all of the fun stuff going on with Survivor, let me just also take a moment this weekend that the Survivor community got the word out. I started seeing it Saturday morning that legendary Survivor Rudy Bosch passed away at the age of 91. And it wasn't a surprise that there had been reports for some time that Rudy was in declining health for many months. And then it seemed like that there was a close call a couple of weeks ago. And so I think a lot of us were preparing for this. But, you know, just incredible guy, Rudy Bosch, that I had the immense pleasure to spend some time with. Allie, were you a fan of the first Survivor?
Oh my God, yes. I've watched the first season of Survivor with my grandma, and we both have watched every season since. Now we still, you know, talk on the phone. We don't get together to watch, but I loved Rudy. I remember I was maybe like 7 or 8 when the show started airing. I don't know. But I remember Rudy like he was on the show yesterday. Sad news, definitely, but his legacy for the game definitely lives on.
Yeah, he was the breakout star of the first season. And I know we have people that listen to the show that weren't necessarily following Survivor or Alive when the first season was on. But Rudy was just this real breakout star of the show that he didn't hold back. He was incredibly blunt and unfiltered, like the way he liked his water in Survivor All Stars. And
my kind of guy.
Yeah, Rudy was just you know, incredibly popular as a person on the show. And in terms of the strategy of the game, you know, Rudy just was very much just called it like he saw it. He was a incredibly loyal guy that Richard Hatch picked up on that very quickly. But he was a phenomenon in the year 2000, where that there was talk about spinning Rudy off into other shows, and he was a household name in 2000. And I had the incredible pleasure to get to know Rudy to some degree through my own experience with the show, that I had met him very briefly at the finale of my season. And ultimately, we were all out in Panama together, and yada, yada, yada. We both ended up in the same place for several weeks that we spent together. And Rudy was my roommate when we toured the southernmost tip of Argentina in a town called Bariloche. He and I shared a log cabin for, I'm not sure if it was a log cabin. It was a cabin. It was a wooden cabin.
And I'm not fact checking you.
Yeah. We shared the little cabin that was where we would call home for about 3.5 weeks. And he had his room downstairs. I had my room upstairs, but it was basically, it was like him and I in the cottage. And he would make me laugh so much that he was just the funniest guy. And I'm not sure how often it was like, you know, with the intention that he was funny, but his stories would just absolutely have me doubled over to the point where, like, I couldn't breathe when he would really get going with his many monologues that he would do.
I have no experience with Rudy personally. I just know from watching the show, huge fan. I'm a huge fan of his. I still am a huge fan of his. And it's, he paved the way in terms of like unlikely relationships on Survivor that we still are seeing, even in this episode, pay off today between him and Richard Hatch, and like probably the most famous alliance.
Yeah.
At least from the early game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting to frame it that way. Now that you mention it, you had even mentioned, you know, Richard and Rudy on the Know-It-Alls this week. So, yeah, that's timing is very fitting that, you know, we've come so far with Survivor over the years, and still we are able to have these sort of like organic relationships form within the context of the show. But Rudy was an incredible guy. He was an American hero. He has a legendary career in the armed services from before his time in Survivor, where that he was part of the Navy SEAL unit, and I'm sure had a million stories that were probably you know, just as interesting as the stories that he would talk to me about from playing in the first Survivor season. But he was basically that he had the most incredible relationship with his wife, Marge, who very sadly she passed away. I think it was 11 years ago to the day that Rudy passed away. But they were, when we talk about like relationship goals, that they were, you know, it seemed like they were so in love that she knew, you know, everything about where, you know, because Rudy famously, you know, in that he had that scene in the first Survivor where he, you know, went through the Blair Witch Project challenge. It was like every answer was, I don't know. But she would, in my interaction with them, like she would say, all right, Rudy, you remember this person, this, you know who this is. And she sort of like knew everything that he needed to know. So it was very sad that he ended up losing her, you know, so long ago. But, you know, they're back together now, and just incredible guy, Rudy Bosch. And I just wanted to take some time to honor Rudy a little bit more, because he deserves it.
Yes, definitely. And now I will bring dishonor to myself from everything I have to say about this episode. Okay. But definitely, heart goes out to Rudy's family.
Okay. All right. And lots of nice things from the Survivor community in terms of the outpouring of love for Rudy Bosch. Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on here in the world of Survivor. And this week, we had a big blindside at this tribal council where you mentioned Plainview Sue, but it was actually Plainview Jason that we saw out of the game. Were you a Jason Linden fan?
You know, I didn't register Jason too much, right? Like, it's still in the early game, and I don't know that I like fully had any attachment to Jason, but listening to the exit press, I actually have stopped really listening to exit press because it always makes me like the contestant so much more, and then I get pissed that we lost them so early on. So like in the early game, everyone should still, I still download the podcast, but
thank you.
But I listened to Jason's exit press, which was fascinating, which I'm sure we'll talk about, or maybe we won't. So you've definitely talked about it already, but it made me like wish Jason was on the season more. Like, I would love to see him play again. He seemed like he really did have a handle on the game, maybe more so than I even really paid attention to or connected to. So I'm sad to see Jason go out here.
Yeah, it was definitely a bummer, and he was a great sport in the exit interview, and I appreciate what a good job he did there. And I mean, what could he have done? There's not a lot.
Interesting you say that, Rob. Frosted tips. Here's why I say that. I actually thought, what could Jason have done? And it really did seem like Jason was targeted because he looked like the archetype of, you know, the huge, huge, big nerd like you and Stephen Fishback.
No, hold on. Let's put a point on this, because that he did talk about how, you know, there was people that made reference that he looked like me. Which I don't know if any of the players know what I look like. I'm not sure necessarily how many players, certainly Chelsea, but I don't know how many players that are out there were making that comparison between, but it sounded like from his exit interview, while people said he looks like me, they referred to him as Fishback.
Which I watched his day after video, and that's where he really looked like you. Like, I didn't see it really on the island. And then like once he was like cleaned up a bit and the beard was trimmed back, I was like, oh, he does look like Rob. I see that. But even if it's not directly you, right? It's the mindset that people have of like the Cochran, the Christian, like who's the Survivor nerd, the East Coast type of like you and Steven.
I live on the West Coast, Allie.
Right. But you're still the East Coast type. I hate to bring it to you. But like, if he had done something, like, I truly think, and then I watched the episode again because I was so stressed about having to cover this episode. I normally do a lot of prep, to be honest with you, Rob, because I take this seriously, despite seeming like I don't. I watched this episode a second time because I was so afraid of it. And watching it now, having listened to that exit interview, when you see Elaine say, like, oh, he seems really smart and he, whatever, I don't know how much that is. The way he talks game is really intelligent on the island. The way he talks is really smart on the island. Or if it's just that, but if he's a lawyer, whatever, they think about that. Or if it's that he looks like someone who is smart on Survivor. And I think that that had a lot to do with, like, why he went home. So how does he not look like that? What could he do to drastically change his appearance to look not look in that way? I think he should have gotten, like, Justin Timberlake frosted tips before he went on the island. And I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Well, this is a really good answer to that. Because, I mean, they don't do him any favors once they put him in a suit. I think that that also does not help him out here.
Right, but they can't. What are they going to tell him? To shave his head before, if he shows up on the island with, like, green hair?
Right. So I don't know if he could say, like, but I don't want to wear a suit. Like, well, then you're not on the show. You have to wear a suit. And so, yes, but this is, so I've made a choice. I've made a choice where I've gotten a questionable hair decision, a la Nick Macaroni, of I'm coming in here with a weird hair choice. Interesting.
I think that's, like, the, because he would have had to, it's just, I think, I mean, maybe we'll hear more in exit press later that it wasn't really about that. And he doesn't necessarily, he doesn't know what was, like, going on in their minds. But if they're calling him Fishback, that has to have at least, you know, 30% of fault for the decision.
Yeah. So blame.
So that's where I'm at.
Blame your nemesis, Stephen Fishback.
Can I just say, and speaking of my many, I have many nemeses.
Yes.
I tweeted this, but I think I was only invited on here so that you could, because you love making that gag on Know It All's telling him that I'm going to be your favorite.
I mean, I do, but that's just a bonus. It's not the reason I do it.
Yeah, but I was 1 week off the horror of you telling Devins that I was going to be on, who certainly doesn't know who I am, but, like, ugh. I shudder to think about how awkward that would be.
Yes, but you've had a thawing with Rick Devins, right?
Well, I'm very close on Twitter to his wife, but yes. I don't know that I've accessed him at all.
Okay. Well, I think all's forgiven.
Well, we could have found out. 1 week off, we could have found out.
1 week off. I'll ask Rick Devins if he listened to this podcast to prepare for being on the Know-It-Alls this week in Steven's absence. Okay.
Devins, if you're listening, it could only hurt. Please turn this off.
All right. So for Jason, not much he could have done there, which I guess leads us into talking about this advantage which came up. And let me bring in a question here. This is from Will in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. This is what Will says. A question for you and Allie. I think the block of vote is the best advantage in the game. It can be devastating, as seen in the most recent episode, but it isn't guaranteed to work. It also doesn't mean you're completely safe either. Elaine almost went home despite playing it. It creates great TV moments and has a more compelling strategy than Idols. It also means you can't idle your way to a win, a la Mike Holloway and Ben Driebergen. Do you think block a vote should be more common than Idols? Should Idols have the same rarity as vote steals and blocks, etc.? And is that a way to bring more balance to the advantages? So, Allie, where do you stand on a vote block versus the hidden immunity idol?
First of all, there's no more disappointing place to live than Jamaica, Plain, Massachusetts. I was
like, hey, where are you from? Jamaica. Oh, Plain, Massachusetts.
I was a little admittedly distracted by that the entire question. But if it boils down to where do I stand on block of vote? Look, I mean, this was the perfect tribe for a block of vote, right?
Yes.
Like, I think block of vote is, I don't want to say usually, but more often than not, I guess that's usually useless or hard to take advantage of. When you're coming into a 4-4 deadlock, block a vote is just as valuable, is more valuable than an idol, because you don't need to know who to play the idol on. You could just block one of the other tribe's votes. So in certain instances, yes, it's, like, the best. But I do want to bring up, and I work Twitter in a little bit earlier than I should, and I'll read the, her actual tweet during the social media. But Shannon Gates was tweeting, I thought this was like really exciting to see Elaine get the perfect block of vote and like watch it be executed with still enough interest where I had no idea what was going to happen at Tribal. But Shannon Gates was bringing up on Twitter that this actually like ruined what would have been great to see what would have happened with the 4-4 situation, like whether Jason's plan would have worked, whether Aaron would have flipped, the fallout from that, like to actually, or maybe they would have gone to Rock. So in that sense, I almost agree with Shannon that the block of vote sort of like blocked what could have, this was a great Tribal, but it could have been an unbelievable Tribal. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that there is merit there. We don't know how it played out. And, you know, it's hard to necessarily say that one of the more organic ways it could have played out would have been more exciting than the actual way it played out. But it does seem as though we end up having where Survivor ends up putting a lot of tools in the hands of people who could potentially use them. We saw this with the Davids in Survivor, David versus Goliath, where that they were down in the numbers, but there ended up being like a lot of things hidden around the island, which were able to sort of like level the playing field and get them back into the game. So I think that it's really this, there's so much variance in terms of, you know, what could happen, where it's getting harder and harder to be able to really, you know, kill off the other side, because there's so many advantages that can help the underdogs.
Well, but you know what's interesting with this season? The fact that it's called Island of the Idols. It's all about idols, you know, both human and object. Mm-hmm. But we haven't really seen a lot of advantage intervention, right? Like Nora and Elizabeth don't get it. Mm-hmm. Kelly, I'm not quite sure what the current status of her idol is.
I think
is
she has it for one more vote.
One more. And it's only the votes where she goes to Tribal.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. And then we see, you know, Vince get voted out with an idol, Chelsea get voted out with her idol, and Jamal is sitting on an idol also. So like, as much as there have been these like temporary advantages where they want to be used, this is like the first one to be used.
Yes, this is the first time it's come into play, and it does come in at the perfect time for Elaine. Let me bring in this question from Kyle, who says, does the proliferation of advantages that can blow up Tribal Council make throwing challenges a less viable strategy? And this is the first time I've really heard this idea thrown around, where I was saying, yeah, I don't know why that the Vokai majority doesn't throw challenges and get out Dean and Karishma before they get to the merge. But this week was a great example of that. Yeah, you think you could have the numbers or you could have your plan together, and then there are so many advantages that could pop up, and like to go back to David versus Goliath, things that you've never heard of before that could be newly added to the game that you can't account for.
So this is going to be a weird response to have to this, but you know how there's like some standardized test, I don't know if it's the LSAT or the SAT, mm-hmm. I may be losing even myself on this one, where like there are certain tests where if you guess wrong, you lose like half a point. So it's like better to leave something blank than guess wrong, which is just like a total mind F to have to like counter. How sure are you that you are right? What percentage of certainty do you need to have to risk losing half a point as opposed to just not putting anything? And I think when you play like that, right, like, okay, if it's the right move to throw the challenge, but like what percentage they might have something I've never heard of, like, then you're not playing the game. Like, I think at some point you have to, this is from someone who's never played, right? And I'm sure it's like I'd play much more scared. I'll never play, but I would play much more scared than I'm saying. But as someone behind a microphone, like, if you're thinking of that, like projecting, yes, you need to be thinking, okay, Kelly went to Island of the Idols, so she probably has something. There might be stuff hidden, like, okay, it's possible that someone has something, like Jamal has an idol. But I don't think you can play where if it's the clear right move to throw the challenge, but if somebody were to have something I've never heard of, I get foiled, like, then I think you have to just take your lumps. And like, if it's the right move, it's the right move. Mm-hmm. I think getting down into the minutiae of like anticipating every single possible advantage that CBS could put into the game, like, then you're not playing. Am I crazy to say that as someone who's actually played the game?
No, I think you have the right idea. So basically, I don't know what I don't know, where that you could potentially get hit by an asteroid tomorrow, but right. You know, without sort of like, you know, reasonable assurances that the asteroid is coming near you tomorrow, you should still get out of bed and go to work.
And that's what Jason said, right, in his exit interview, giving you a little hat tip that you asked the best question of his exit press. So mazel tov, Rob.
Thank you.
That, like, better to go out like he went out than to get rocked out, in his opinion. I think that's also the right opinion. Like, if you get out, and he had a pretty good attitude about it, like, he went out in a blaze of survivor glory. There was almost nothing he could have done but dye his hair. And that's okay. Like, you have to be able to sort of sleep at night with that. Maybe if you throw a challenge, you don't feel that way because you didn't even have to go to tribal council. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm not super convinced that these old Lyra, old Vokai alliances are even that tight. Like, you highlighted on Know It Alls, I think, that, you know, Aaron was left out of the vote week one. Like, no surprise that he's sort of flirting with the other side. And Kelly seems to be developing really strong bonds with Dean. And so, like, people, and then there's this moment we get in the beginning where Dean's sort of making inroads with Jamal over how crazy Nora is. So mm-hmm. I don't even know that these bonds are like tight enough to throw a challenge for, but I wouldn't not throw them because of anticipated advantages that you couldn't possibly know about.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the place where you go to get the advantages, the Island of the Idols. Allie, how have you felt about the Island of the Idols?
I don't feel good. I mean, like,
you don't like it.
All right. So I've been shocked at how overall positive everyone's been on the podcast this season about it, with the exception of Coach, which, by the way, if you have not, you, the audience, or even Rob, if you haven't gone back and listened, like, that was the best interview in the history of interviews.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh my God, what delusion, but also like subtle hints of self-awareness. Like, I absolutely, I am going to listen to that again, just like for funsies. I love that interview. Please, the Coach interview is the best. You need to have him on every season.
I'm going to cut this clip and send it to Coach.
Oh, sure. I thought you were going to say you're going to cut this out. I was like, why?
No, I'm going to send this off to Coach. He's going to be thrilled.
I mean, maybe edit out the part where the delusion part, but I mean, that interview is the gift that keeps on, because that Bryce was talking about it in Purple Pants, like, mm-hmm. That full stand, this interview.
Yeah.
Wow. Just like, where you had to be, know that, like, behind the scenes, Rob, I have to interview the interviewer. Like, when that was happening, what was your reaction to that?
No, I'm smiling because I when somebody's bringing it.
When Coach was happening.
I understand the question. Yeah. when somebody is bringing it, I know. I can tell. I'm happy.
But, like, okay, so in terms of, first of all, I don't understand why, and you've said this a lot, like, who cares if they're actually, I believe they're living out there. I also believe that they're getting amenities. Like, they're not hiding it. They had pillows, they had chickens, they had the watermelon. Like, who cares if they're I don't want to see a decimated Boston Rob and Sandra mm-hmm. who are starving and bored out of their minds. Who cares? There was like a secret scene of Rob building the mansion of the shelters yeah. this week.
Yeah.
And he's got tools. He's got saws, he got a hammer. That's amazing. Give him give him a full toolbox and let's see this go five stories. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed the moments. I think Sandra is being like deeply underutilized. I don't really understand why. I don't know if this is like an audition for Rob to host Survivor or what. Mm-hmm. But they have shown a willingness to sacrifice time at the Island of the Idols like last week, which I like. But I just feel like this week is exactly what I was afraid of. Like, Island of the Idols pays off when you're going to have a boring pre-merge, or like you don't have the most like vibrant cast, fine. And then it's fun to go spend 7 to 10 minutes with Rob and Sandra. Here we have people like really playing and we lose Jason playing a fake idol, we lose their alternate plan, the fact that Tribal really was live. Like, in those 7 minutes, I feel like we could have had all of that explained to us. And it's a crime to me that we didn't hear that. So I've enjoyed Island of the Idols, but I would rather have like good gameplay and the time allotted to showing good gameplay than Island of the Idols.
Okay. I think those are all good points. As far as Sandra being underutilized, I think where Sandra shines the most on the Island of the Idols is when they cut to like Sandra's confessionals about what she's thinking about what's happening on the Island of the Idols. Because it does seem clear that they've given sort of the copy to Boston Rob to deliver.
But when she really took ownership a little bit, I think with like Vince's expedition, like that was one of the like more standout ones to me, honestly. And I think Rob's doing a good job. Like, this is his first kind of gig like this. It's a little like exactly. They gave him the copy. Like, it's maybe a little rehearsed. But when Sandra's just being a Looney Tune, like, that's amazing. I also think she shines when she's like in the box seats at Tribal.
Yeah, she's good in the Tribal Council also. Where Rob does a little bit more play-by-play than Sandra is just reacting to stuff.
The other thing I don't love is like the randomness of the selection. I liked the one time they did like, you guys have to pick. I almost wish they were letting like the person, if Elaine was like, pick the next person to come from the other tribe. I wish there was like a situation where they were actually picking and not just reaching into a bag. I don't really understand why they're doing that as the mechanism. I think it's like that could be more exciting than it is.
Yeah. I don't know if you could have necessarily picking, because I think then once you sort of like have possession of the like, oh, Island of the Isles is a good thing. All right, well, I'm going to send my friend and I'll send this friend back and forth. You just want to keep accumulating all the advantages. But you could, I don't know, have a wheel and spin the wheel, or even how they do it is fine. But I really wish that they would show us what the pull is. So it's just like, I believe it's on the level, but let it be 100% on the level and show us the name that gets pulled. And you don't have to show Elaine, but you could tell us who's coming next week.
It's funny because I took a meeting with someone at work. A friend of mine at work is a fan of yours and watches Survivor. So I put 30 minutes on his iCal at work to talk about this in preparation for this podcast. And we were talking about it like, when you say, why don't they show us? Is it because you think there's like intervention going on, or you just like wish they like showed the payoff of showing the name?
I'm going to assume it was a creative choice to not show us every week. But when they don't show it to us, then it invites people to say like, oh, well, they're just picking who they want to go to the Island of the Idols, when it's just that we didn't get the name. So just show us the name.
But you know what? If they were doing that, like, why not just have Rob and Sandra pick? Like, I would actually be fine with that. Like, let's actually intervene. Like, let's Rob and Sandra observing Tribal. Let them select who they want to come to Island of the Idols.
I think that that's also going to be an issue where they're going to say, well, they're just going to do, you know, whatever production wants to do. So
I'm like, who cares? I'm fine with that.
You're fine
with
it.
It's almost like Elaine getting the steal vote at this, like, Elaine's tribe being the person to send this week, the 4-4 tribe, like getting the block of vote. I mean, great, intervene. Like, that was great.
Yeah.
Not, that's an unpopular opinion, but that's my opinion.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about Elaine. Let's talk about Elaine on the Island of the Idols. And we have a question for you. This is from David in Los Angeles.
Hey, Robin Alley. This is David in Los Angeles. The first thing I thought when the sand started pouring out of that bottle on Island of the Isles is why doesn't Elaine just stick her finger in the bottle and stop the sand from pouring out? Then she can ask them what the heck the challenge is going to be without having to worry about making the split decision. They didn't say it had to do with a certain amount of time. They just said until all the sand fell. So if she sticks her finger in the bottle, the sand isn't going to keep falling. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Allie. You're a lawyer. You know about loopholes, the fine print. Could Elaine stick her finger in the bottle and stop the sand from coming out?
So here's the thing. This is like The classic lawyer answer is it depends. No, the thing with this, right? It's like, oh, you can negotiate on Island of the Idols. Like, you can do all these things. There's, I think it was probably Corinne's brutal cast assessment, but there was like an interview with Corinne Kaplan where she was talking about how, like, when you're on Survivor for the first time, like, you do all the stupid things they ask you to do in the B-roll. And like, when you return, you're like, no, I'm not going to wear a suit, or I'm not going to like roll in the sand and have you laugh at me later. Like, mm-hmm. you have more confidence. So while it would be amazing to see someone boldly be like, Rob, make that four tribals and I'll do it, you know, or I'll stick my finger in the bottle, or I'll tilt the bottle back up, or I'll catch the sand, like whatever. That would be awesome. But can we really expect a new player who, I mean, I'm a huge Survivor fan, Rob. It's like barely been like, I could barely relax that I get to talk to you, that I have your number in my phone, right? Like, if I'm on the island and Sandra and Rob are there, I'm not thinking like, oh, how can I game this? Like, they must be totally, totally stunned by this. Mm-hmm. So while it would be amazing television, I don't think that's ever going to happen. Like, yeah. I can't expect a new player to do that.
I just think Elaine could pull it off if she was going to do that type of thing where Rob is saying, okay, you have until all this time is out of the bottle, and then I'm going to tell you about what's going on. And then Elaine sticks her finger in there. It's like, what? I couldn't do that. What?
I mean, your Kentucky accent is even better than mine, or worse than mine, and mine's terrible. But yes, I think it would be fully allowed. Island of the Idols is like no parents, no rules. Jeff's not here. Rob decides. And like, they want people to be like bending the rules that Rob's giving. But do you think like a new player would be sort of confident enough to do that? I mean, even Angelina, I don't think would be have the negotiation skills to make that happen.
Well, now that we've sort of invented this format, I wonder, maybe the second iteration, we might see some pushback where are Rob and Sandra sort of viewed like the substitute teachers?
That would have been a good question for Ron. That was also a great interview, by the way.
Ron is another easy interview.
But yeah, I don't know. I just think people are so shocked because they truly don't know. I think, well, I understand why they're probably told they can't tell people, the returners can't tell people what happens on Island of the Idols. I think we'd get more negotiation if Kelly could come back and be like, by the way, Rob and Sandra are there and I hesitated and they gave me more time with my idol. Like, you can negotiate. Then we'd get people like prepared and thinking and, you know, strategizing against Rob and Sandra. But then you lose the payoff of like, look at my little bee hat, Rob. So happy to see you.
Yeah. Shen, I think Elaine definitely knew who they were.
Oh, 100%. There was no question. There's no way they didn't like approve Elaine's Boston hats because they knew she would like see Rob. Like, we were all waiting for that payoff. She definitely knew who he was.
Yeah, she knew what was up. Really, the camo little bee hat is really the perfect marriage of the Rob and Sandra headwear.
That's true. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Put them together. Yeah, they make, if you're going to make them into one thing. Yeah.
Just because, by the way, that I'm saying that Elaine should, like, I don't blame Elaine for not, like, plugging the bottle, doesn't mean I think she handled this correctly. I should be on record of saying that.
Okay. Yeah, she really did jump at the opportunity. And, you know, I really thought that the exercise, I was saying this with Steven, was that, hey, don't just, you know, because somebody, like, puts a timer on the desk, take the offer, and this is how you end up with a timeshare when they're telling you, like, hey, this deal is only good today. I mean, you got to take it.
Yeah. Also, it didn't seem like it was running out that quickly. Like, she definitely had
a lot of time.
Seconds.
She had a lot of time left on the clock.
But when I went back on the rewatch and she said, and he's saying like, this is testing your ability to like make a split decision. I mean, he didn't say it like that, but he said something that basically suggested she should just like say yes. And it's hard when she ended up being right, like saying yes to this ended up being right. Mm-hmm. But I think she could have at least been like, with an eye on the clock, what's the deal?
Just like a little, what are you offering?
One more question.
Yeah. So again, that they didn't know Rob and Sandra were out there. They don't know how this is going to work. So they're caught up in the excitement and they want to say yes to Rob and Sandra. Nobody wants to go in there and not play ball with Rob and Sandra.
It's like declining the wheel spin. I have often said that that on Renap is like the most powerful move you can make. But like, who's going to do that? Everyone wants to be there for the wheel spin.
Well, yeah, I think you are really overestimating everybody.
I just want to say on Elaine, like I love Elaine and I think she's going to be around a little bit longer because there's no way we're only getting the small part of her story that she gave, which is that she lost her mom 3 months before coming out on the island. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know how casting works, but that means like she had to know she was coming out before her mom died, right? Or no, would that be possible that she found out in those 3 months?
You know, there's sometimes people, you know, get approached late in casting. And then there's other times where people are sort of like been, you know, in the works for, you know, 6 months out.
Rob, Elaine's no alternate. Yeah. She's no backup. You see, yeah, Elaine, you put her on a plane.
I don't know when she applied. And, you know, this is a different casting group with Lynn being out of the picture. So I don't know at what point they got an application for Elaine.
Well, either way, I mean, we're definitely going to get that story, which would be, it's amazing that she's out there 3 months after losing her mom. And I look forward as a viewer to hearing more about her story. That said, I don't think Elaine's got longevity in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's adorable. Elaine is so cute. Like she's just on the screen and she makes her little like Kentucky like line she gives that Rob's obsessed with. Both Rob's actually you and Rob.
Yeah.
But there's just no, I'm shocked she's actually still in the game. And I just don't think, I think once she's going to be the like sort of back, like this week she was the decoy vote, right? Like I think once you become the decoy vote too often, also that your days are numbered. But I also think everyone knows she's winning the game if she gets to the end. Like who, I want to give Elaine $1 million and I have so much debt, but I want to give Elaine $1 million. So I think they'd be stupid to get. Let her go to the end. And I think they know that.
Yeah. This was Elaine also on the Island of the Idols talking about how she is somebody who is constantly overlooked.
5'2", a little busted can of biscuits. But that's the story of my life. Everybody underestimates me because of my size.
Now, hold on a second. Let's just, in the words of Davey Rickenbacker here.
And I'm like, pump the brakes.
In the first episode of the season, people are saying, oh, we have to vote out Elaine. If we don't vote out Elaine on day 3, she's winning the game. Are we still at a point where is anybody underestimating Elaine other than Lauren, who said she was too dumb to have an idol?
Well, Elaine doesn't know that necessarily, right? Like, that was said, right?
That was said in front of her. No, it was not said in front of her. It was said in confessional.
Because she was at tribal. She was sort of, I feel like in the early game, maybe was it the first tribal that she was like deflecting being a threat that like maybe she's aware of it. I don't know. I mean,
is she underestimated or is she, everybody knows she's going to win the game?
She estimated? No, I think, but it's different reasons, right? I feel like she's underestimated in terms of like what she means by that is she wouldn't be a physical threat that like we could vote her out now, but she would be a threat to win the game. And I think those are two, you can be underestimated in the game. Like Lauren said, strategically and athletically, so, but she's not underestimated in terms of her story and her social game.
Okay. So that by sitting her out of the challenge, they underestimated her.
I mean,
they should have let her play. She was mixing it up with Jeff about how she wanted to play. Tell me, what do you think about the rapport between Elaine and Jeff Probst?
Dang, that sucks. I wanted to play, Jeff.
You were already sitting out.
I know, but at least watch it.
She's so cute. Honestly, Jeff, I feel like, has been very playful in general this season.
Especially with Elaine.
Especially with Elaine, but even like his little donuts line during Tribal, which
yes.
Like...
put a pin in that. I want to come back
sure,
to it.
Sure. I have more to say about that. But I think in general, Jeff has been pretty fun this season, especially with Elaine. There are certain characters that like bring that out of Jeff where you can just tell he's enjoying watching them exist.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, so I have a friend who just recently got very into Survivor and like darkly into Survivor. I might have to intervene, where she's like now watched like 15 seasons.
I've never heard that turn of phrase, darkly into Survivor.
Well, you, my friend, are darkly into Survivor, just to let you know.
Guilty as charged. Yes.
So she's doing rewatch, and I was like, you know what? She was like, what season should I watch next? I'm like, you know what? Let's rewatch Fans versus Favorites, because you're going to be spoiled on it if you don't watch it soon. And I'll watch it with you. I haven't watched it since it was on in 2008.
I think so.
But it's so jarring, and you've obviously done the evolution of strategy, but it's so jarring to see how different Jeff is at Tribal in older seasons than he is now. And like the playfulness that he's giving this season is like sort of shades of old Jeff, where he used to like get way more involved. I think this is the right spot for Jeff. I like when he like picks people out and people like mix it up with him. One of my favorites is when Penner gets pissed at him and he's like, Penner getting mad at me. Like he, Karishma did that a little bit with him this season.
My
so.
Ass.
It's a win if I could get you to do a Penner impression. It's
I don't know if that's the same conversation. I feel like it's the same season, but I don't know if it's the same conversation.
But yeah, so I love this side of Jeff. I love it. I love to see Jeff's personality without him sort of intervening at Tribal like he used to do.
Mm-hmm. I think Jeff also knows when somebody is good TV. And I think that Jeff is going to let that person shine. I feel like, you know, Christian comes to mind as well. Some, you know, of course, famously Cochran. You know, when Jeff sort of like identifies like, OK, this person, we've got gold with this person. Like, I think that he is especially generous to them in terms of like allowing them to speak and, you know, having a back and forth with them,
which is great. He's right.
Yeah.
Like 10 out of 10 on Elaine.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to this. Since we're talking about Jeff, Jeff opened up the tribal council, I thought, with an interesting comment, and I want to get your take on it. Here's Jeff Probst opening this week's festivities.
All right. Let's imagine we're in a living room, special night, watching Survivor. We've got some donuts.
Donuts.
Tribal council comes.
Okay. All right. So tribal council comes. We got some donuts. Allie, I know you've hosted a lot of Survivor viewings. Is that the customary Survivor dish to be served? Donuts?
Well, calling donuts a dish is fun. Yeah, could Jeff be more out of touch than to say, like, people are gathered around
eating
donuts?
Does he know what people do when they watch Survivor?
However, I do have to interrupt this, like, fun conversation roast of Jeff. I'm working in some of the tweets. So I got sent to social media this week. You did not. Shout out to Alex Rubino, who's doing the Lord's work, really, in your operation.
Yeah, it was spoiler alert. We're doing social media here in this podcast today.
So Mike Holloway tweeted, in 20 years, I have never watched hashtag Survivor while eating donuts. Next week, I'm gonna try it. Thanks, at Jeff Probst. And Jason, I guess Mike actually asked the best question of the week to Jason, because Jason responds, haha, we won donuts at the blindfold challenge, but it got cut from the episode. Would have made more sense if you saw how happy Tommy was when he was eating the donuts.
I still wouldn't make sense. Nobody, the Jeff is not talking about like, all right, I know you guys love your donuts. We're here at Tribal Council. He described the scene where people at home eat donuts during Tribal Council.
All right, let's imagine we're in a living room, special night, watching Survivor. We've got some donuts.
Donuts.
Tribal Council comes.
Now, I understand why donuts got the reaction from the Survivor that were like Homer Simpson. I get that. But in terms of what people do during Survivor episodes, Steven Fishback and I aren't scouting Krispy Kremes across the country to take the know-it-alls.
Maybe you should.
Maybe we should. Now, I was wondering, because I know you host, I tend to watch Survivor by myself if I'm not at a live show. I know you have people come over and you watch Survivor. I'm wondering, like, do you serve a first course maybe at the start of the episode, and then at Tribal Council you bring out dessert?
So I do not do that. I feel like John and Haley Strong would be better fielding this question in terms of Snapchat.
Yes. And if I may add that I feel like that based on my knowledge of what people snack on during Survivor, if there was going to be a circular shaped food served, I would think it would be a shrimp ring.
That's such a deep cut. So here, I feel like this is the time, Rob, to bring up our baking incident that happened 15 seconds into being on this podcast, because I've put a poll up. I don't know if you saw.
No, I found it. I try to avoid checking Twitter while I'm podcasting. I get too distracted.
Well, aren't you professional? No. So, okay. So we get on, and this will get back to what is served at my Survivor gathering. So we get on the podcast and I'm like, ooh, I got to take something out of the oven quickly. I'm baking and I like mistimed it, be right back. And Rob's like, you bake?
Yeah. Well, first off, that when I talk to people on podcasts and they tell me that they're baking, that it's not often that they have something in the oven.
How dare you? I'm baking wholesome treats.
Yes.
And to send to my friends who have passed the bar exam, because I'm punny and I'm like I have the sense of humor of an old woman. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say it in case they listen to the podcast before they get them. So I don't want to reveal the quality pun. Any baked in. anyway, so Rob's like, oh, you bake? That's like so shocking. And I was like, why? Is it because you think I'm an asshole that it doesn't like fit that I bake? And he pauses for too long. Mm-hmm. And is like, yeah, maybe.
Well, I was just trying to think in my head that is the act of baking, is that something that I inherently associate with people that are nice? I don't think that Allie is an a-hole, but I just didn't suspect that she was somebody who had a lot of free time on her hands and was looking up recipes.
So then I go to Twitter because I was like, my loyal followers, not you, Rob, mm-hmm. but my loyal followers will have seen the Halloween cookies I posted last year, the elaborate spreads I have produced for the Oscars and Tony parties, the DIY Survivor cookie decorating party I had for the finale a few seasons ago. Like I often, the birthday cake I made for Jonathan Foreman. So I said, hashtag RHAP audience, I seem like a baker, choice one, choice two, not a baker. We've had 135 votes. 76% of people said not a baker. That's so rude.
I stand with the majority.
And I'm like, I'm wait for the bragging post I'm going to put of the macaroons I've made, of everything. So you'll see. Anyway, point is, I often serve baked goods. But mm-hmm. never donuts.
Yeah. Would you do donuts? Or does that involve the deep fryer?
So the new trend is like baked donuts, but I'm not buying a donut pan. I mean, if I ever find someone to marry me, I'll like register for one, but I'm not buying a donut pan. That's like so useless.
Did Brian and Emily have a donut pan on their registry?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think they registered for like items, but I have missed registries before, so don't rely. I'm not a great wedding guest. I did give a gift, but I'm not a great wedding guest.
Okay. All right. So I guess if people should let us know if you eat donuts during tribal council.
Let us know if you can acknowledge my baking skills. I'm a prolific baker.
Hey, thanks. What 26% of the listeners knew you were a baker?
Well, a prime attendee of the an important member of the Ann Arbor Box Wine and Goldfish Alliance, Monica Browner, who is not listening to this podcast, I made chocolate chip cookies for a Survivor watch party, and she said she wants me to make them for her wedding. How about that?
Whoa, well, that's a big order, right?
I mean, well, not really, because I don't have many orders coming in, apparently. 76% of people think I've never used an oven.
Not really.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to send you some baked goods, Rob.
Great.
You're not going to eat. You're going to throw them out.
That's good. Is that why you were featured in the latest batch of Southpaw Sweets at the live show for Big Brother?
Yeah, I have to get an answer on that. Does she think I'm a baker or not? Maybe she's like, you don't seem like a baker. Maybe you've never had a cookie. I'll make you a cookie.
Yeah.
They were delicious. I can't make those. Let's be real.
Okay. Very inside baseball, talking about a listener who is a has a company that makes cookies that she brought to the Big Brother show. All right. So let me play a question for you. Let's bring in James from Wisconsin with a question about what could happen at the Island of the Idols potentially after the merge.
Hi, Rob and Allie. This is James from Wisconsin with a question about Rob and Sandra. So far this season, we've only been seeing 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes an episode, but I feel like they have to use more of them after the merge. I don't think they're coming back in the game. Maybe they get a vote during Final Tribal Council, but this last episode, when I saw them building that giant shelter, thought, is it possible the tribes are going to live with Rob and Sandra after the merge? Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay. Allie, what do you think of this? Is this a crazy idea? Do you think that the survivors could ultimately come to Rob and Sandra for the merge?
No.
Okay. Why?
No. So I agree. I've spent a lot of time thinking about what's going to happen with Rob and Sandra. I don't think they're going to come back into the game. I think it's possible they get a vote at the end. So I think what he said is spot on, based on nothing. I think it would be insane for them to come live as the merged tribe. And what, Rob and Sandra remain with that? Like, they all live together, like one world style? We saw how well that worked out.
Well, in terms of, I mean, that's how every merge goes, that they all live together eventually.
No, I mean, like, I'm joking, but like, Rob and Sandra are just like living amongst them. Like, hey, guys, don't mind us.
Hey, 1130, lights out, bitches. Yeah, I don't know. That would be weird.
But I don't know what happens. Like, do they continue to send one person? I loved the idea you guys threw out, I think, on Know It Alls of like them serving the merge piece. Like, big reveal, we're here. Like, here's your French toast.
I do think that we are due for some sort of like public unveiling that Rob and Sandra are indeed the Island of the Idols, because it's eventually going to be the worst kept secret, where they sort of got lucky, where Vince went, had his whole thing, and now he's gone. But now, currently in the game, how many people do we have that have been to the Island of the Idols? Elizabeth, Elaine, Nora, Kelly, and then nobody went in one episode. So
that's
now,
it, yeah.
Yeah. So now four of the 14 people have now been to the Island of the Idols. So you're going to reach a point where more people have gone than haven't gone.
Yeah, I think there needs to be some sort of reveal, because like, as we were talking about before, like, I also think being at Island of the Idols is much more interesting when you're expecting it, because then I think we will get the negotiation or people being a little bit more prepared and ready for it.
Allie, I think I've got the perfect reveal. Okay. So we're going to have some sort of a big reward for the group, which is going to be, we have like a gigantic layer cake that we're going to roll out. Okay.
Sure, I'm with you.
And then
I've baked.
Yes, you baked this, 17-layer cake, and they're going to wheel it out and then say, all right, want to know what you're playing for? Look at this. But instead, here comes Rob and Sandra pop out of the cake. Hey, surprise.
I mean, that's something.
Do you have a better reveal for them popping out of a giant cake?
I mean, better in terms of what? Like, for the show or for fun?
Either.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's possible that the merge feast happens on Island of the Idols.
The merge feast is the cake. It's like, all right, well, here's your merge feast. It's a giant cake. Yep.
Oh my god, didn't you get enough sugar with Halloween candy? Don't you buy
I've been trying to abstain until like the end of the day when I stress eat 19 fun size candy bars.
Just a little too real.
Yeah,
a little too real. Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen. I wish I even had a theory. Like, I have no idea what's gonna happen. I shudder to think that it's just gonna continue the way that it is. Because there's no way it ends at the merge, right? Like, Island of the Idols must continue. It's too expensive not to. But I don't really know how they do it right. Like,
when you say it's too expensive not to, you're talking about the cost of the production of the giant heads?
I'm talking about salary.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of the production of giant heads. The whole thing is expensive.
Yeah.
And it's the whole theme of the season. If it ends at the merch, like, what a womp womp.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think it's going to be, and you said this earlier and we didn't talk about it, but how, like, if the players at Island of the Idols were able to select the next person to come, like, I don't know that Island of the Idols is automatically an advantage. Now, people are being very theatrical about being pissed about it. Like, we get Elaine saying, like, oh, and then when Lauren gets seated out of the challenge for the immunity challenge, she's like, oh, thank God, when Jeff says take a seat on the bench. Like, people are acting like they don't want to go. I don't know if they actually don't want to go, but we saw Vince get voted out the day that he was at the Island of the Idols. So I don't know that it's automatically a good thing to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also don't know why I brought this up at this point.
Okay.
I forgot where I was going with this.
All right. Well, let me give you a second to gather yourself as we continue onward. But first, let me take a moment and thank our friends and sponsors for this episode of the podcast over at Sharper Image, who make the Calming Comfort weighted blanket. It's weighted blanket season. There's a chill in the air. And now you got an extra hour to sleep now. It's the perfect time for the Calming Comfort weighted blanket. Allie, how are you sleeping? You a good sleeper?
I normally am, but maybe not after how little you and the audience think of my baking skills. I'll be having nightmares about this.
Yeah. Look, well, if you're somebody who, you know, tosses and turns, maybe suffers with a little bit of anxiety in the evenings, a Calming Comfort weighted blanket is for you. My wife swears by it. It's the luxurious weighted blanket that helps you relax so you can fall asleep and stay asleep naturally. When you're under the blanket, you're going to experience the great feeling of being hugged, cuddled, or swaddled, which is as soothing for adults as it is for children. The Calming Comfort weighted blanket applies an even amount of pressure over your body to help the production of serotonin and melatonin, which simulates a deep touch pressure stimulation. Sleep better, feel great, and stress less. It is a great gift as well, as we're heading into gift giving season as well. It's a natural way to attain adequate sleep and support overall health. You get a blanket that is ideally 7 to 12% of your body weight. They've got 15, 20, and 25 pound blankets out there. So go ahead and give it a try. That the Calming Comfort weighted blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, best night's sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, our listeners can go to calmingcomfortblanket.com. Use promo code ROB at checkout to receive $15 off the displayed price. Again, that's the Calming Comfort blanket. .com, promo code ROB. And you can't put a price on a great night's sleep, so go online now at calmingcomfortblanket.com. Use promo code ROB for your special discount today. Go ahead and cozy up with a Calming Comfort weighted blanket. All right, Allie, let me bring in another question for you. This is from one of our listeners, Lauren Brooke, who wants to ask you, what cases or castaway problems from this season would make it to the court of Your Problems Are Trash? Allie, you recently appeared on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast to resolve the problems of our listeners. And Lauren wants to know.
Did I?
Yes.
I don't recall.
Yes. You recently had a great appearance to help some of the RENAP listeners with their problems. And so we had some survivors write in with some issues that you might be able to help them tackle.
Sure.
Okay.
So,
I'm going to read them to you.
Oh, please. Sorry.
Okay. unless you have any that are off the top of your head.
I need a weighted blanket. I'm feeling stressed.
Okay. All right. So, first one. Okay. It comes in to Dear Allie, I am on a survivor tribe with a guy who is the ex of one of my good girlfriends. Am I allowed to work with this guy in the game, or does that make me a bad friend? Also, he seems to be acting like he's a detective. What should I do?
Did you see, by the way, that Dean was himself for Halloween?
Yes.
Sorry to What a thing.
He's running with it. He's running with it.
I mean, good for him. Westfield native. He's from the town over from me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's sticky. That's sticky, Kelly. I think it's, I think in the game, you use it to your advantage. I think you're doing a good job with that from what I can tell from your letter. But if you get the opportunity to cut him at the end, you do it for your friend.
Okay.
Stay loyal.
Yeah.
Although we don't know that they had a bad breakup. Like, they don't seem...
people have good breakups?
I mean, look, don't ask me that.
I mean, I don't know.
Some people I hear stay friends.
Really?
This isn't news. This isn't news AF.
All right. My mind is blown. Okay. All right. I just, you know, maybe they didn't go out for that long. Maybe it was just like
say 6 years.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen. Okay. All right. Another question for you. Dear Allie, my roommate is obsessed with adding on to our house. Every time I try to relax, he tells me to smarten up and get back to work, adding a balcony to our second floor. How do I convince him that our snug is good as it is? Sign of the queen needs some sleep.
Did you write these?
These are real survivor problems.
I'm crying just because this is the first episode I noticed that Sandra was like, come on into our snug and we'll explain.
Yeah.
So I love that. She uses the same language, or I'm sorry, the queen who needs sleep uses the same language here.
Come on up into the snug room.
Yeah. Snug is like the waiting room.
So I would tell the queen to communicate openly with the person she shares her home with and ask, you know, is there a reason? Maybe you're snoring. Maybe not. Maybe there's some other reason that he's looking to get some space from you. So I would, maybe he's got too much time on his hands. You should encourage that he, you know, take up a hobby or a job. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice. All right. And then one other one. Okay. Dear Allie, I've noticed something strange in my camp, and I want to say something to the group because I think that there is a potential public health concern, but I'm concerned that my tribe already looks at me like a crazy person and I don't know the best way to tell them this potentially shocking news. In fact, I am so embarrassed about what I've discovered that I was unable to include it in this email. So I have attached a voicemail recording to explain what I've discovered in my tribe. Can you help me, Allie?
Oh, by the way, this morning that water tasted like poo.
How can this person, how can this person let the tribe know about potential public health concern?
I think you just have to be open and honest. If they already think you're crazy, it's just going to be on brand for you. And you should just alert everyone as loud and proud as you can about the situation.
Okay.
It's critical. It could be life or death, honestly.
Could be life or death. I was talking about this with offline, and somebody threw out a theory. Is it possible that we've been reusing the beaches too many times and that there's been some sort of a seepage issue that somehow like one tribe's toilet is like another tribe's camp is made?
What is it about me coming on the show that's like, you know what? I could talk about this with Rob, with Fishback or Davey, but I'll bring this up with Allie. That's fine.
Well, we're answering advice questions here.
Sure, that are written by you and your staff.
Okay. All right. Allie, let's bring in some other questions from our listeners. Let's take a question here from one of our listeners. Robbie has a question for you.
With their survivor Glitterati out in full force at KIA, there was one star that shined brighter than the rest. Of course, I'm talking about Missy. My question for you, Allie, is, did Missy keep watching Survivor?
Okay. Now, Allie, of course, was out at the Survivor Know-It-Alls.
We've lost all the listeners. The few listeners we even had, we've just fully lost.
Wanted to know. Allie has a best friend. Can I say best friend? Close friend?
Sure, you could say whatever.
Yeah. Very a close friend, Missy, who has been the subject of podcasting on Rob Nikiva Need a Podcast. She was out, and it seemed like that people were really excited to meet Missy in person.
I had probably the best time I've ever had at a Know-It-Alls event. I think this was my fourth Know-It-Alls. So I think the secret is to just bring someone from the outside who's on. I guess people can't always just bring Missy, like mm-hmm. someone who's an outsider who everyone's going to know.
Yes.
But that was truly a blast. I hope Missy and I didn't ruin your event. I think we kind of made it. We had fun.
Okay. But Missy kind of went in blind on the Survivor. Or she
Missy
watched,
went in
she,
totally blind.
Did she watch? No, did she watch the first couple of episodes? Or?
No, okay. So what happened was I had a friend who watches Survivor who has been with me to Know-It-Alls in the past who wanted a ticket, who like bought a ticket, and then he canceled because of the rain. And so I was either going to and it was like 30 minutes
fair
before or
fair.
An hour before, literally. So it was like, do I bother you or like go to, you know, the Facebook page and say like, oh, psych, I have a ticket or whatever. Do I just eat the ticket or do I just like call? I actually texted every Survivor fan I know, which is a short list in New York. It's like five people and everyone was busy. And Missy famously has stupidly revealed to me that she doesn't say no to things. So I called her up. I said, you know how you don't say no to things? You want to come to this podcast and meet Rob? And she goes, all right, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Yeah. All right. And the applications for who wants to marry Missy is skyrocketing.
Well, I told her, I was like, keep your voice down when you're saying you don't know where you are or who Stephen Fishbeck is or what Survivor the show is, because people really get upset. Like they like to come to the show. It's like a hot ticket to get. So like, please be quiet that you don't know where you are. But she loved it. And then she texted me this week, like, how do I, she was like, is Survivor on Hulu or like, how do I watch it? And I said, you can watch it on CBS.com or I know about 1,000 people who would probably be willing to give you their CBS All Access password mm-hmm. so that you can watch. She really enjoyed it. She had a good time meeting everyone, but she also liked the show.
Okay. All right. So Jack's Giving Tobin wants to ask you, do you think that if Missy that was on this season with Missy, she could work well with Missy or revert back to Missy's gameplay and isolate herself from Missy? So but I think this is a convoluted way of asking, how would the two Missies, Survivor Missy and your close associate Missy, end up interacting?
So Missy loved Missy at Know-It-Alls. Like she kept reacting to her. And I was like, that's Missy. Like she didn't know her name. So that's how you know it was like
just
true,
to be clear, your love. Friend loved the depiction yes. of the woman Missy who happens to be on Survivor.
My friend Missy reacted to Missy, the Survivor contestant, very favorably. And then I kept being like, that's Missy. Get it? Like mm-hmm. you're close. I also want to ask you, Rob, like, I have had many friends now show up on and cover Brian on podcast, JoFo, my mm-hmm. friend Molly, Johnny Langan, Rourke. Rourke, I guess, was on Survivor, so that doesn't count as me finding her. But and Missy now, like I have also like a deep bench of people I haven't even brought on that I'm sure 100% would make quality content.
Yes.
And I'm realizing that that's not normal. Like, is there something about me that attracts these Looney Tunes that make good content that shouldn't?
I thought you were going to want some sort of a finder's fee. I'm not talking about the 2001 Jeff Probst film.
No. I want nothing from this, but I also think I could spin off and have like a very successful network of just the Looney Tunes I hang out with.
Oh, but that, is this a shakedown, Allie?
No. I want you to tell me that it's not embarrassing that basically I have stacked my life with people who can basically carry episodes of podcasts they know nothing about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're a big personality, and I think that big personalities attract other big personalities.
I don't know that that's true usually.
Hmm. So what do you think? That big personalities attract people that are just want to like hide in the shadows?
Well, yeah, I feel like usually people who are loud and annoying like me want to be around people who are like quiet and will let them just like perform.
Oh, interesting.
Daily.
Yeah.
But I have like a clown car of like crazy people that I can just roll out and put behind a microphone.
All right. Well, let's explore this a little bit more in the future. I have a game that I want to play with you. Okay.
I look forward to continuing to discuss this.
Yes. All right. And I know you are one of our biggest social media experts out there on the scene. And so I thought that it might be fun to play a game that I'm calling Missy or Missy. I have a series of tweets for you, and I'm hoping that you could tell the difference between your close friend, Missy, and Missy Bird, who is currently doing great on this season of Survivor.
Do we need to give any more background of Missy, or we're just like, okay, that we fully lost the entire audience?
Look,
to most listeners, it's just like a friend of yours or a Survivor player.
Yeah. So, yes. So there's a woman named Missy. She went on a date with one of our other listeners on Rob Nikiva Need a Podcast. She recently appeared again on Rob Nikiva Need a Podcast, and she was at the Live Know It All. She's Ally Lasher's friend. Did this woman, Missy, tweet it, or did Missy, that was on Survivor, tweet it? I really wanted the game to be Missy, Missy, or Missy, but unfortunately, it seems as though Missy Payne from Survivor San Juan del Sur will not be showing up on Twitter anytime soon.
And we'll just show up.
She appears to have turned off her Twitter account.
So it could have been Missy, Missy, or Muffin.
Missy, Missy, or Muffin? Yeah, even better.
What does Muffin think, though?
Like, who's Muffin? Yeah. Okay. All right. So let me give you an example. Okay, I'll throw an example one at you. Okay. All right. Which Missy tweeted recently? Wait. ... Am I a villain?
This I know. This is Survivor Missy.
Yes.
Not Missy who's barely surviving.
that was the warm up. So you got it. Okay. All right. Okay. Which Missy tweeted, "Got banana cheesecake instead of my usual tonight!" ! YOLO, all caps. Haha.
Oh, the haha on the tweet does sound like my friend Missy, because she admittedly like has no idea how to use social media. But I don't feel like she would have a usual dessert and like tweet about her dessert. So I'm gonna say Survivor Missy.
YOLO, let's play.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're right. That was from June 22nd, 2012.
Oh, you went deep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Which Missy tweeted, "There are so many myths about the abdominal muscles. I'll be happy to put this one to rest."
And there's no like
no photo or anything attached. Yeah. So many myths about the abdominal muscles, period. New sentence. I'll be happy to put this one to rest.
Okay, I'm going quickly. I'm not going to look at Twitter, but Missy is private. So does she follow you? Like, how did you see? Like, are these all just Survivor Missy people?
I am behind the firewall.
Okay. Why would Missy tweet about myths about the... Like, was she replying to a tweet? There's definitely context you are omitting here. This had to have been a reply.
I did not look at replies. I only looked at regular tweets.
So one of the Missies just tweeted with no context, "There's so many myths about the abdominal muscles. I'm happy to put this one to rest."
Yeah, that's right.
This is void. This one's void. This is not correct.
I will check my work as we're talking.
I call donuts on this.
Feel free to talk this one through.
Yeah, I mean, again, this doesn't feel like a my Missy tweet.
Mm-hmm.
But if she was in a conversation where she knew like a random fact about abs, then it does sound like her voice.
Hmm.
So to just tweet that out of the blue to nothing doesn't sound like either of them.
Okay.
Is that giving you enough time to check your work? Or
yeah, yes. That this is not a reply to any person.
Okay, well, then it would only make sense if, like, Missy on Survivor was reacting to her saying something on TV. So I will go Survivor Missy.
Not really.
No, sorry. You're
There's
Missy.
No way she just
You're Missy,
out
May
out
16th, 2017. On There's Twitter no for iPhone. She did it. Three likes. Three likes. No replies.
Now, I do feel like I said that she it sounded like her, but again, I don't think that she would. I'm now checking your work. When did you say? Because I'm not reading the rest of them. It's just May 16th, 2019.
It's 2017.
Oh, I'm not. Well, I'll revisit this at a later date.
Okay. All right. Which Missy?
I don't want to come across another tweet that will reveal.
Okay. Which Missy tweeted, I wish someone would take me to the Olive Garden tonight. And then it's followed by three emojis. We have hearts for eyes, big heart, little heart, and spaghetti. I wish someone would take me to the Olive Garden tonight.
I'm going to go. So that feels very on brand for my Missy, but I'm going to go with Survivor Missy because I don't think my Missy has a handle on emojis like that.
Y'all are stupid.
Oh.
It was my Missy. Wow.
That was what she was with. And it was Valentine's Day 2015.
That feels very on brand. That's not surprising at all. It's just the good use of emojis that throws me.
On brand and on bread. Okay. All right.
It's a great game.
All right. Then this one more. One more is a two-parter. Okay. So one tweet was from 2017, tweeted, "Winter is coming," simply. And then that tweet was quoted recently with the new tweet added, "If I'm the ice queen now, ... I guess this aged perfectly."
That is Survivor Missy.
Okay. All right, well done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Missy's not going to remember what she tweeted last week. I took a screen cap of the abdominal one, and I just texted her now. Why did you tweet this with the screen grab of it?
See if she gets it. Okay. All right. So there you go. All right. Let's get back to the show that everybody wants to hear more about.
Okay. No one made it through that.
Yeah. Some people did.
Sorry. Missy said it's from the movie Heavyweights.
Okay.
Okay. Good for her. I just lost a game because of that.
Out of context. I mean, it was tied. You tied a game. You got the practice question right.
Fine.
Yeah.
You sound like Shut Up Tim and Puya now.
Right. All right. So, can I ask you about something else? So, at the live know-it-alls, during the talk of Bryce's Zaddy calendar, can I talk about this?
Yeah, sure.
Is this okay? So, yeah, I noticed because you had very good seats, just like at Brian Cohen's wedding at the live know-it-alls, that when Bryce talked about his affinity for Survivor contestant Aaron Meredith, that I noticed that you were one of the, a lot of people were like, wait, what? Who? And you were not who. You were, woo!
I was waiting for you to play a clip. Listen, I dispelled that on my own podcast because people were making it out who just listened to the audio. Like, I was standing up like, yes. I was just politely
I wish I would have thought to
seat.
Pull the audio clip. I didn't know how audible it was on the actual podcast.
Well, because you said my name. Yeah. I don't even think it was that audible. It was just like... You acknowledged me in the crowd.
I was like, look at it. It's like, is Allie Lasher? That's you?
Listen, I love Bryce. He is full baby boy. We live for Bryce. And if Bryce is coming to the stage, I don't understand why your audience is just like laying down dead. Like, I am cheering. I'm snapping for everything Bryce is saying. I was living for it. And Bryce is saying Aaron's a good looking guy. I'm like, yes, Bryce. Okay. Like, we stand Bryce.
Okay. So that wasn't necessarily that he, you know, uncovered your opinion and you were like, yes, that you just, you would go wherever Bryce leads you.
Well, what opinion is there to uncover? Like, he's saying Aaron's like a hot guy. Correct. Like, that's why he's on the show. Yeah. So sure.
Okay. All All right. So let me ask you, can we do some challenge related questions?
I have more to my hottest take of this podcast is about Aaron, but
okay, go for it. We're here. We're here.
No, I should have waited because usually you'll be like, all right, you have anything else? This is more of like,
do you have anything else? Because then I don't want to, like, I feel like that some people will say, well, I don't want to hear about the challenge. I might skip ahead. So let's talk about Aaron.
Okay. So I want to talk about two things with Aaron. One, I mean, God forbid I take this back to a serious note, but like, I want to talk about what Aaron could have or should have done to prevent having blood on his hands this week. Cause just like Jason couldn't have done anything else. Like, I'm actually not quite sure what the criticism of Aaron is this episode. I don't particularly love Aaron as a game player, but like, should he have, he was making these inroads or these plans with the other tribe or like his own tribe at the other side to turn with Missy against Elaine before he had complete information about Elaine's advantage. Then he gets new information and he changes trajectory. So like we see Lauren getting very emotional. We see Tommy like very pissed. Like what could Aaron have done in this situation to prevent being the like the biggest betrayer of the season?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that the issue here is, and again, they had like the winning hand that if nobody from that group was going to flip, and I don't know how necessarily you could play this, but I think that you could like half-heartedly sell it to some degree where you're telling them, but you're not necessarily like giving like if you're sort of like preparing them for the blind side a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. But I guess the people could have idols and things like that. So you never want to be too certain, but it seemed like from the episode because it seemed like that Missy, they weren't counting on Missy after a certain point. It seemed like they were all counting on Aaron. And so whatever Missy did, I feel like was the right thing where that, you know, we saw Jason gets up and says, yeah, hey, don't trust Aaron. He wasn't like, don't trust Aaron and Missy.
So here's what I think. I think the problem lies, the root of the issue, if you will, lies in the socks.
Socks. Yeah.
The socks that Aaron has. Okay. There are two problems with those socks. Well, one, I think also Aaron plays very aggressively. So he's like working too hard to convince Jason he's going to flip when like they don't need convincing. They're willing to go to rocks. So it's like if they're actually going to all vote Elaine and Aaron doesn't vote Elaine, they're willing to go to rocks, quote unquote, you know, because we had Jason's real plan. And so like Aaron doesn't need to sell it that hard that he's going to flip. So maybe that was the real problem. But I think the socks are the problem because the socks with his kid's face on it, one is so genius that he brought those to the island. No one will ever be able to have those socks again with a loved one on them. Like he broke that. It's like the Survivor auction. Like you do it once. Good job. No one will have it. And people talk about like, oh, this person had a windbreaker. This person had a three-piece suit. This person had a hat. Like, I think even if it's subconsciously, there is some jealousy to the fact that Aaron thought to have a picture of his child with him on the island, which nobody else gets. So there's subconscious, like, this is why I think Aaron has never really been able to make real inroads in the game. But I also think you make an immediate emotional attachment. Like we see the conversation he has with Tommy about his son with the socks. It's like an automatic trust build. Like, oh yeah, this is my son. And he confides in you about it. And you think you've developed a real relationship and a real connection, but he's actually done that with everyone. Cause it's a freaking picture on his socks. Mm-hmm. And then you feel more betrayed by him. So I actually think it's like the worst thing that he could have worn to the game.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought you were going to say that people were going to be jealous of him because the socks were so warm when you talked about that. But this person has a windbreaker. I thought it was like an Angelina's jacket issue.
No, but isn't it true you're out on the island, other parents or people, like the way people break down about their loved ones when they come, like right. I imagine it would be a huge advantage in the, even if it's in the minds of the other players, to be able to like look down and see like the reason you're playing every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it certainly is an emotional attachment that, you know, might allow you to connect with the other players, where that it's something that I think that definitely could make him more of, in the same way, hey, we can't let Elaine get to the end. People could be also feeling the same way about him, of like, okay, let him get to the end because that he has his kids' socks. We've all been looking at his son for 39 days. So with that, we know that that's going to be an emotional argument.
I just imagine it makes those conversations enhanced. It happens more quickly. Like, he had that conversation with Tommy very early on in the tribe swap. It's like, here, this is my son. Like, if you could hear about someone's husband or wife or kids or parents or whatever, but like, this is my son. Like, this is why I'm playing. Like, you feel like you've made a connection, and then he betrays you. I think that has something to do with it. That's my hot take. That's why he loses his game. Shouldn't have worn those socks.
Right. Yeah. So he has that. And he's also played aggressively, where that he seemed very eager to switch over. And I think that that's the reason why Jason and the players from Vokai were targeting him at that tribal council. And then once Elaine pulls out the advantage, then they are switching their votes to Elaine and then hoping that maybe he's going to stick with them for to get the numbers back on their side. Let me bring in a question then for you. This is from one of our listeners. This is from Odefe in Nigeria. One of our listeners, Allie, the Global Podcast, Rob Has a Planet. All right, here's Odefe.
Hi, this is Odefe from Nigeria calling. My question is the best way to reduce your threat level as a strategic threat to play dumb? We've seen Mike White do it. He said he was just here for the vacation. We saw War Dog do it after the merge. We saw Devin's play up the Sofa Bro character. And Lauren assumed Elaine was too dumb to have an idol. If you're a strategic threat, is that the best way to reduce your threat level? Thanks.
Allie, I've talked about the sort of the metagame for a while now on the podcast in terms of how people perceive you. Let me ask you the question this way. Is it better for people to think you're not as smart, or for people to think you're crazy?
I don't think crazy is good, because we see what happens when Nora, who is perceived as crazy, has this conversation with Dean of like, I want to make moves against my tribe. That should be received well by Dean, right? Like, this, he's out on an island on his own with Karishma. Here's Nora saying he wants to work with him. Instead, Nora's crazy. He goes to Jamal and says like, wow, that crazy person. And now it hurts her. Whereas like, if you think someone's not as smart, like Elaine, you're not afraid of working with her. Like, when she comes up to you and in sort of a crazy way, it's like, I love you. Do you trust me? Like, yeah. I have this.
She opened
advantage.
Up both conversations with Aaron and Missy to tell them that she had the idol, but she starts with, do you love me? Do you love me? It's like, I guess, why? Like, it feels like, I feel that you should say, do you love me, after you tell them you have the advantage.
I mean, Elaine pulls that kind of thing off. Like, it's like, let's build our relationship. Let me just affirm our relationship. It really is meaningless. It's just like a cutesy way to do it. But I think then you're still willing to work with Elaine because you don't think she's crazy. Maybe you just don't think she's that intelligent or strategic. But I think that was actually a bad look for Lauren, because like, just because it appeared, just because Elaine's got like a Southern accent or her profession, like, okay, Elaine's not strategic or intelligent. And I think that's actually been happening a lot this season. Like, even people on the podcast have been like, oh, Kelly, she's got this big pedigree. Like, she's gone to these two great schools. And like, I've gone to great schools. I don't mean to like crap talk, like talk bad about people who have, you know, certain levels of education. But like, that's typically not what gets you far in Survivor. Like, I actually don't think like going to Wharton Business School is any sort of coup for someone's Survivor resume. And someone like Elaine, who's relatable, who like people are rooting for both on the show and off, like, that's actually a bigger threat. But people don't really see it. They're more afraid of Jason, who's a lawyer, or Kelly, who's gone to these like big name schools. So I wonder when that will flip and people will start being suspicious of like the Ben Driebergens, the Mike Holloways, the Elaines. And it seems like that
Nick
hasn't
Wilson,
really
sure.
Happened yet.
So yeah, I wonder, maybe this is you're really onto something here, where maybe the biggest threat on Survivor is sort of like the hardworking middle America blue collar person that's in the cast, and you should watch out
Pat.
For this person.
Yeah, I think so. But no matter how the outcome like happens on Survivor, it seems like people can't get away from like, I don't want to admit that I'm a lawyer. I don't want to admit that I'm this like quote unquote important profession, or I don't want to admit that I went to Wharton Business School when the biggest coup of someone who got an MBA is like Angelina's famous negotiation. So like who cares? Mm-hmm. So I wonder when that will change, because like Lauren's sleeping on Elaine and which made no sense to me really, because then maybe it was like sort of an unfavorable edit for Lauren and there was more to this, but like Elaine went to the Island of the Idols. Like, have you seen the show before? Like, I feel like there's a 9 out of 10 chance she has something, and you don't need to be strategic to get a gift at the island you stow away at.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know if there's like a barrier to intelligence to get an idol in Survivor.
Especially without naming names.
Like, I feel like there's been some people that have gotten idols and they don't always use them the right way. But I don't know if necessarily that it's like a requirement that you have to necessarily have a certain SAT score.
And that's what made no sense to me, that the vote was going to go on Elaine, and like Aaron should have been, you know, above thinking that too. Like, and it makes sense that the Tommy, Lauren, Jason alliance was actually not going to vote for Elaine, because it would make no sense to vote for Elaine when she just got back from IOI, like when you could vote for Elizabeth. Like, why would you vote for Elaine when like, you know, there's an increased chance of her having something?
Yeah.
And to just trust the other side that she doesn't is wild to me.
Mm-hmm. But then once she pulls out the advantage, it's like, okay, all right, that go for Elaine because she doesn't have an idol.
Exactly. Which I want to ask you, like, why did she say that? Like, I know she had to say it. She, like, according to her reading the rules, that she had to play it before the votes were cast. Fine. But like, it seemed like she was playing it early and allowed for more discussion to happen, which to me, just like, she got carried away. Like, maybe that wasn't the most strategic move, because exactly like you said, she outs the fact that she definitely does not have an idol.
Yeah. I did think that probably there could have been a better time for her to play the advantage. Certainly. She allowed for, I don't know necessarily if you played at the last second, if that crosstalk is allowed to happen, but I do get the sense that at Tribal Council in 2019, basically, you know, whatever you, it could be, Jeff could say it's time to vote, and then people start getting up and moving around, and then you could do whatever you want.
Fair enough.
It's a free for all. So look, it worked out. It was fine. No major issues. Okay. Let me ask you a couple of these challenge questions. I want to start to get to the social media as well. So sure. Let's see. This is a quick one. JJ from NJ says, I don't have a voicemail. I just want to thank you to send a thank you to Allie for converting me to a challenge viewer during Dirty 30 when she was on the BB19 recap. So I binged the challenge wrap up because I was bored and eventually got super invested in the soap opera that is that show.
I'm so deeply sorry. But no, I mean, I had some conversations with people like this at Know-It-Alls who were like, oh, I watch Big Brother, I watch Survivor, should I watch the challenge? Like, I think it's like confirmed that the challenge is a legitimately good show, especially if you like these sort of strategic competition shows.
Sometimes they are strategic.
So tragic. Yeah. So there's maybe a little bit more. There's a little bit more drama that some people don't have an appetite for, but it's athleticism, it's gameplay. It's definitely moved more and more further and further away from sort of just like drunk antics. So if you've enjoyed this nonsense, you're sure to enjoy the challenge wrap up with me and Brian. And I would recommend checking out the show, especially this upcoming season is going to have a lot more Big Brother players on it, if that's sort of your thing.
Okay. Here's a question from Jeremy.
Hey, Rob and Allie, this is Jeremy from California. With the challenge rumored to have its first Survivor player on its next season, gotta ask Allie the obvious question. Who from the Island of the Idols do you most want to see on the challenge? And why is it Tom Laidlaw for War of the Worlds 3? Thanks.
Okay. Who could cross over from this season, Allie?
So, Yeah, interesting. I feel like we should talk about, too, the rumored Survivor player. I don't know if that's not on the table here to talk about that.
I mean, it's on. I don't know what the challenge spoiler world is. Are there people who are like, oh, don't spoil me on upcoming... I mean, it's not a Survivor spoiler as far as I'm concerned.
No, I mean, I don't consider casting a spoiler. Okay. But if you do, write to me.
I will follow you wherever we end up going with this.
You as the listener, if you're upset, write to me and I'll promptly delete it. I don't care. So, so Jay is rumored to be on the season. He was on X on the Beach and now he's going to be on this season of The Challenge. He had like a relationship with Morgan Willett, who's now dating Bananas. And that was a controversy. So it doesn't appear that Morgan's going to be on, but Bananas and.
And that was all on the show.
I'm sorry, what was on the show?
Morgan and that all took place on screen?
No, so Jay and Morgan's relationship happened on X on the Beach, and then Morgan was on The Challenge with Bananas and not with Jay. And most of the, like, they were flirty, and then they, like, left the show together, and that's just been sort of he said, she said about what's happened after the show.
Okay, all right. So we have our first Survivor setting foot on The Challenge. What do you call it? The beach?
The Challenge. I don't know. It's okay. The killing floor this season, so that doesn't sound great.
The killing floor. Allie, could anybody from season 39 make the leap?
Well, I just want to say really quick about Jay. I don't think this is the right spot for him. I love Jay on Survivor. Jay was boring as hell on X on the Beach, and I don't understand what he's going to be doing on The Challenge. I think Big Brother is traditionally a better crossover just because, like, they cast more, like, deranged people. No, I don't know. But they cast, I think, a different type of person on Big Brother that can tend to do better on MTV, whereas, like, I feel like Survivor is a different show entirely, and I don't know... Again, Jay did not really perform on X on the Beach, so I'm surprised that he's getting the invite. Maybe there's more to see that I haven't seen. But the challenge is weird because you're looking for an athlete, but you're also looking for someone who's going to bring drama, whether it's fighting with people in the house or like getting into relationships. So that's, I feel like, more of a big brother thing. But maybe Chelsea or Dean, because they had that sort of like romance that then caused drama for Chelsea to leave. So maybe they're sort of in the age range and athletic, but have that perfect sort of thing.
Right. So Jay, it does seem like a weird fit because he seems like such a like super nice guy.
Yeah, he's athletic for Survivor, right? But he's not athletic as compared to any of the men on The Challenge.
Right.
Like, if you've seen a cast photo of The Challenge recently, it's like WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about Aaron? Is he too old for The Challenge?
No one's too old for The Challenge because people have been coming back. They're like almost into their 40s now. They're
okay.
Like the old staples.
All right.
I think he might be considered too old
30.
to be like new, but I think that could be fine. I don't know that he'd want to do that considering he often talks about like his kid's sort of old enough to watch the show. There are a lot of people with kids, but they're like babies. I don't know if you want to be on The Challenge if your kid's old enough to get teased at school for you being on The Challenge.
Yeah, with this a source of bullying, your dad is on The Challenge.
Well, he was talking about his right. Ronnie's the one who not Ronnie sorry Aaron's the one who's like the party boat captain whose was like going to worry that he was going to look stupid on the show.
Yes.
So if he's already worried about that, then he's definitely going to look stupid on The Challenge.
Your dad's on The Challenge. Could I tell you about a potentially alarming situation that's going on at my house?
Would love to hear that.
Yeah. So this is weird. You know, I've podcast for, you know, thousands of hours in this room, and there's a window up here. And so out the window today, there is like a biblical plague of bees that seem to be swarming on the house next to me's roof. This is like, you know, this is like the end of my girl right now. This is really wild out here. There's just like bees just like lining the roof of the house next door to me. I don't understand what's going on.
Brian and I once had a... a very funny episode where I encountered a large bug in my apartment and had to, like, it was like during the podcast and had to pause and come back. So if you were to shriek right now and then go attack those bees, it would be pretty on brand for a podcast with me.
Yeah. So a very concerning situation here with the bees. I just sent Allie a picture of what's going on with the bees, and things are escalating quickly. If this is this might be the last podcast I ever do.
I'm so, again, sorry for you if that's the case, but no, these bees are no joke. It's like a wall of bees.
A wall of bees. It's like a cartoon when the bees take the shape of something and then are going to be turning into a mallet and then banging me over the head. Okay. All right. So Allie, once again, you have prepared the social media for us, and such a treat.
Prepared is an interesting word.
Yes, because then this is the one time, much like when I got to take the This Week in Survivor History quiz with Jordan Kalish, this is where I get to be on the receiving end of the tweets this week.
Well, hopefully it's better than having to take the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
I mean, so is a root canal. Okay.
All right. So
hold on. I have to play the jingle. Okay.
Oh, sure.
Here is the great Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They keep rocking the boat. Like Elaine sending Jason home by blocking his vote. Tweets.
Okay, nice.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. All right. All right, Allie. Let's talk about the week in social media.
Yeah, so we didn't really talk about the Jamal and Jack situation on this episode, but Julia Carter from Survivor had some tweets that I think are worth reading here on the subject. So Julia said, first she said, be careful how you use adjectives like well-spoken / articulate / eloquent to describe Black people when they speak. Just because it's not the stereotype you're accustomed to doesn't mean it's not the norm. So I think that's something important to keep in mind. And then Julia also said, I am glad that CBS made a decision this season to air the very real vulnerable moments and conversations around race that inevitably happen on Survivor. I told my story and made it be heard. For that, I'm a game changer in my own eyes. Progress is progress. Prayer hands emoji, # Survivor. So I guess this is sort of still halfway in between talking about the episode and the social media, but Julia was pretty vocal about her unhappiness with what happened with her edit last season, and now she's sort of saying I'm glad Survivor's taking note.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing too, and we didn't talk about this moment here, and you've talked about it with Davey and Steven, but the thing I loved about this moment, well, I loved a lot of things about this moment, but I really loved a lot of people on Survivor will say oh, I couldn't stand up for what was wrong because it's a social game. Mm-hmm. And if I were in the real world, I would have stood up for it. And that's not always the case.
We're on the real world.
Yeah. And Jamal said it's hard to know when it's safe to be coming out strong in these situations. And it's good to see somebody, even though they're playing a social game, be able to stand up for themselves and for what's right, and to have Jack receive that well and it seemingly not affect either of their games. I hope that this moving forward is something people can lean on as an example of I don't need to just let X or Y happen because I'm playing a social game.
Yeah. I do think that one of the things that really helped allow it to happen in the show was that there was a pre-existing friendship with Jamal and Jack, where it did not seem that there was there was any sort of animosity between them prior to that. So I think that that was, they already had the sort of emotional friendship connection to be able to have that type of serious conversation, where had this been somebody that those two had been butting heads, I don't know if there would be necessarily the framework there to have that type of deep conversation.
Fair point. All right, so let's get to the rest of the Survivor social media. Thank you to Alex Rubino, put this together. So Boston Rob tweeted, what a fun # Island of the Idol segment. Elaine, so fun. Not good at that.
Good.
Sandra tweeted, we need more of Elaine and Nora's visit to IOI, at least in a secret scene at Survivor CBS. Give the queen what she's asked for. I would love to see more Nora and Elaine on IOI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great to get more Sandra with Elaine and with Nora. Do you have anything from Boston Rob's Instagram?
I don't.
Okay, can I add in one tweet from Instagram post from Boston Rob? And we've talked about what a great job Boston Rob has done on Instagram. But this is one I just happened to see. I didn't put this together. But sure. It was a Halloween tweet. And so, you know, these are, you know, expired already, but I want to just get this in there. Boston Rob had a picture of a bunch of candy bars, and he said, Halloween candy keeps getting smaller and smaller. When I was a kid, there was one house in the neighborhood that was the cool house, and they gave out full-size candy bars. I promised myself that someday I would be that house. If you can find my house tonight, you won't be disappointed. Happy Halloween, # say no to snack size.
Haley Strong also notably had full-size candy bars. So if you're in Canada, there's also opportunity for you.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, that's a bold move. It's a bold move to be, you know, look, I'm all in favor of full-size candy bars, fun size, you know, admittedly not that fun, but I don't know necessarily if I want more kids coming to my house. I think I might be advertising like, hey, kids, that I'm going with the micro size candy Whoa. Bars here this year. So sorry.
At that point, just go to Raisins.
Yeah, we're going to Raisins.
Fun made. Yeah. Nature's candy.
Yeah. And not the good ones. Right. Okay.
Important to note, the War Dog just sent me a tweet a minute ago congratulating me on passing a bar exam. So how appropriate to be talking about Survivor Twitter. So thank you to the War Dog.
Yes.
All right. Jamal, who I didn't really get to talk about. Jamal, I want to roast Jamal for his expertise coming from being a TA in a college course that like did not get enough play about how funny that was. Like I thought he was going to be like, I've studied this or like. Being at least at like my school, you'd be a TA in anything. Like yeah. If you're a grad student and like you can interview well. But anyway, he seemed to know what he was talking about, but that was pretty hilarious.
Sounds
I
good
love
to
Jamal.
Me. Yeah, he's great.
I absolutely love Jamal, and I loved that. Jamal is a TA in African dance. So he's like, okay. But no, I stand Jamal. He's on my draft team. So hopefully he takes it all the way. So he said, Jack is amazing. So grateful to share this moment with him. Being willing to share in a respectful and loving way is a great way to move forward. #Survivor, #IslandOfTheIdols. As you can imagine, I have much more to say about this. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. @SurvivorCBS. And I'll add #Rob as a podcast. Looking forward to the opportunity to say more about this. I imagine you'd welcome that interview.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
there's a plug.
I you know, hope it's not anytime soon. I can't wait to.
That's true. Yeah. I shouldn't put that into the atmosphere.
I can't wait to do a deep dive with Jamal, who's been a very fun character on the show so far.
How early behind the scenes here? How early do you call the shot on who are the people you want to do deep dives with? Like, do you feel like you know it like week three? Or,
well, sometimes, you know, like you know it with Reem. You don't need much, but you also you kind of ideally you want to have some longevity in the game.
So like there's still, I imagine, some people who are sort of too soon to tell on what, like if they go out next week, you probably won't be knocking on their door.
Probably not, unless they're like a huge, huge character and then they, you know, have a lot to say. But, you know, we get into the whole politics of that. Then people get insulted if I don't ask them to do a, you know, and then how many does the audience want to hear? You know, it's complicated.
Imagine feeling that way. All right. So Jason Linden said, #Vokai till the day I die. Well, that was Wednesday. Pretty That's clear dark. Who I'm rooting for this season. #Survivor.
Yeah.
Cool. He said, I understand this is this is hard to read. So forgive me. I understand a one or two people may be upset I got voted off #Survivor and expressed they will stop watching. All caps, please keep watching. This is a all caps great season. And as a fan, I'm excited for what is to come. #Don't Sleep on 39. Now, Rob, quick guess on how Jason will feel if you don't invite him to do a deep dive. Can you imagine like feeling like people are going to stop watching the show because you got voted out episode 6?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
come on, Jason. Yeah. Not a great look.
Look, that's Allie. What do you think happened? So there used to be 50 million people that watched this show, but one by one, that 43 million people had a favorite character, and they said they were going to stop watching if that character got voted out. They did, and that's how we lose viewers.
Look, when you call me and tell me the MTV podcast is canceled because there are zero viewers because I've alienated all of them, I won't lose sleep over that. it's fine. To tweet this kind of thing, Jason, come on, we love you, but people are not, the Survivor's not getting canceled because you got voted off.
You don't know that.
Okay. All right. He also tweeted, hashtag Survivor. Please tune into my interview with @RobSesternino. @Rob has Appreciate a podcast it. To hear my perspective on things posted later today. And that included a photo with him in a t-shirt that says, I survived Survivor. And all I got was this t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I included that because if they're going to promote you, I'll promote them.
Yeah. All right, did Jason make that up? Or do you think that somebody has that at Ponderosa?
I think maybe the one or two people shipped that to him overnight to make sure he had that.
You think it's one shirt and they pass it around?
It's also supposed to say like this lousy t-shirt, like this, like I got a good t-shirt out of it. Maybe it's okay. It doesn't really accomplish the goal.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I hope Jason doesn't hate me. I feel like he could take it.
He could take it.
Or he's not listening, let's be real. The one or two people who are going to be like, I'm not listening anymore. Yeah. Victoria Bamonde says,
yes.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I think so.
Okay. Damn, team hashtag Evil Vic takes its second hit. But honestly, I'm not even mad because no way did I want Elaine going home. Hashtag Survivor. That seemed to be a popular trend. Everybody was like, not Elaine. Sorry, Jason, but anyone but Elaine.
Yeah. Maybe you say Jason would have gotten more sympathy if it would have been somebody like they were going to put their votes on somebody else who, like, if it was Elizabeth. It's like, why couldn't it have been Elizabeth? They're like, all right, well, we're sad about Jason, but at least it wasn't Elaine.
See, I think Elizabeth has like high winner potential. I didn't say this, but my actually hot take besides the socks is that like a woman is going to win this season. And I've said that before the numbers were favorable to women. Like I felt in my bones from the cast announcement that a woman is due to win this season. And I think Elizabeth has high like win potential.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying this. That's not news. So I do actually think that would be, I think like Aaron would be someone where people would be like, okay,
yeah,
whatever. But I think Missy, Elaine and Elizabeth would be big hits over Jason.
I would say that while I agree that Elizabeth has, you know, high potential to win the game, I don't think we've really like wrapped our arms around her as a character yet, where people would be gutted and stop watching the show if Elizabeth got voted out.
Fair enough. I would struggle to see anyone here where we'd, I mean, that goes with the edit, right? Like they don't edit the show so people would leave the show if the person they know is going to get voted out.
What if Robin Sandra got voted out next week?
I mean, stop watching the season. I'd be here for it. Let's segue to Aurora here. Aurora McCreary says, and I don't really know what she means by this, but she says, when the bench is getting more airtime than the players, .. Oh shit, y'all losing. Hashtag Survivor 39.
Now, was that Elaine got benched in the episode? Was that it? That person on the bench got more airtime, or was it the Robin Sandra sitting on the bench?
I thought it was like they were cutting to Lauren a lot while she was actually benched.
So Aurora is making fun of the survivors not getting screen time? Is that the punchline?
Listen, I'm not stepping to Aurora, so you're welcome to do that.
She's coming for them. By the way, I add also, Allie, that the bees, as quickly as the horde came, it seems to have dissipated.
Are you kidding me? People are not going to understand this. They were
Before and after. I'll send.
There were like 5,000 bees on this roof.
Yeah, I thought it was the end of the world, but it seems like it has came and went.
All right. Well, while you're sending this picture, I only put up the poll of the baking poll for 2 hours, and the final results are in with 216 votes. 75% of the audience said not a baker, so you can all not eat my baked goods. Okay. So Aurora tweeted, and I found out later this was about Lauren. Aurora said, that's my girl. Fake cry. Earn it. That's my number woman. Hashtag Survivor 39. Hashtag I'm going home. Oh, wait. So maybe she's
that's
saying
my
that, like,
number
Lauren,
woman?
Look,
did we combine number one and woman?
Not that I don't trust Alex Rubino, but my digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth, sends me screen grabs so I can like verify. But I can't check my work. Again, I trust Alex implicitly enough to read it like this. Mm. But I can't 1,000% confirm that she said number woman.
Well, can we look up the tweet?
I mean, I guess I could do that work, but I thought I was the guest here. Now I'm working hard here. Sure, I'll go to Aurora. Please hold.
Okay.
Oh, your bee picture came in. I can't do all this at once.
Sorry, it's a lot going
on. Your little bee picture.
I don't even like this little bee picture.
All right. Aurora has done a lot of tweets. Oh, yeah. No, my number woman. Again, Alex, I never doubted you. Can confirm.
My number woman?
Oh, my God. The bees are... Well, oh, because you... Wait, you put the blinds down.
Yeah, well, so that was I didn't want to leave my podcast station for the second picture.
Wait, that... And I can confirm because the branch is in the photo, so it's not like you took a different... Yeah. That is crazy.
Not Photoshop.
Someone knows about bees in your audience is going to be like, obviously...
Yeah, what happened to the bees, Jake? Right.
This is also why bees are like going extinct, because they just can't commit to areas.
No, I can confirm. The bees are not extinct. That's fake news.
Davey Rickenbacker says, great interview with him as well. Also, great costume, the bringing the milk carton back.
Yes.
Love that. TV is a powerful tool, man. Seeing it firsthand on the TL tonight, now giving people the courage to not be silent in situations they know are wrong. Dot, dot, dot. Job well done tonight. Great tribal. Great episode. Hashtag don't sleep on 39. I guess that's like a big hashtag.
Yeah, people say don't sleep on 39.
Because everyone's waiting for 40. We're hoping to sleep on 39.
Lots of hype on 40. And then people say, hey, don't forget about us. There, you know, Survivor 39 has like a little bit of like a middle child syndrome where season 38 was sort of the, you know, the kid that got like the negative attention. Season 40, everybody's favorite. And season 39 is like the Jan Brady.
Season 39 is like the feedback show of Survivor.
Okay. That's fine.
No, I love the feedback. I just like that people get upset about it. Don't sleep on the feedback show. Let's get that trending.
Don't sleep on the feedback show. Good. tragic. And don't sleep on the feedback show.
Speaking of sleeping, Wendell Holland says, a little behind on this episode, but I'm loving it. About to watch Tribal. Hashtag I'm not sleeping on 39. And then a real Rupert tweet moment from Wendell this week. He says, just finished. Great episode. Hashtag Survivor 39.
Yeah. You won't need the common comfort weighted blanket to not sleep on 39.
You won't need it to not sleep.
Might be a double negative there. I'm not sure what if we're promoting or not. Okay. Look, people, it was a great episode. I don't sleep on any Survivor season.
That was a great episode. What no one will be saying about this voicemails episode.
Oh, come on.
Jonathan Hurley says, I just want to give the editors and Jeff Probst a hug for that fantastic episode.
A hug?
Of positivity.
I mean, with all due respect to Jonathan, I think that the last thing that Jeff Probst is looking for is hugs from the contestant.
Well, yeah, I mean, talk to Dawson about that.
It's like if you do a bad episode, you should have to hug Jeff Probst.
Kellen Bechtold, a new Twitter handle at Bechtoldia.
Yeah, that said, came out of this show.
It did. Kirsten McInnes, I think, gets credit for that.
We sort of just kept putting pressure on it. Like, hey, KS Bechto is really bad. It's bad. It's bad. And then we made something happen. We got change into the world.
Okay. I mean, I still think you were on the right track for her with telling her to just do at... Oh, she couldn't get out. Kellen Bechtold. That kid.
Yeah.
All right. Bechtold is cute.
Yeah, it's great.
We'll see if you remember next year. That will be the real test. Will you not have to look up her Twitter handle next time she's on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So do you have a rating for it? You know, I love your Twitter handle.
10 out of 10.
There's no way that's a 10 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
That's such BS.
What would you rate it?
Well, Lash Tweets is just as good or not good as that. And
have I ever
had it...
came out against Lash Tweets?
Yes, you said because you can't remember if it's like a capitals or whatever, as though it doesn't matter.
No, you're making this up.
No, you said, I'm going back. Oh, think I don't have the time to go back and look at this? You gave me negative reviews.
I don't know if it's capitalized.
No, you said, I forget what you said. You said you couldn't remember something stupid that, like, obviously, honestly, it was so stupid, I can't remember what you said. But I was like, you can remember it. But Beck Told You is, like, new. So, like, I've at least had it my entire time. Mm-hmm. So, like, you've had years to remember this.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever, I'll bake a cake about it. All right, so she said, this episode, I can't wait to see how Aaron plays going back to camp after tribal. My preseason winner pick was flexing some strategy muscle tonight. I will always love this game.
Okay.
Good for her. All right, Troy, that sounded mean. Like, no, I great. I also am looking forward to seeing, I think everyone's looking forward to seeing Vokai back at camp next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
Troyzan getting on the action. He said, the World Series has to wait, .. I'm 100% in on Survivor tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, I think they probably started without him.
All right. I have a little game involving prolific Survivor tweeter, Alexis Maxwell.
Yes.
So I'm going to read you 5 tweets. And you were going to tell me which of the 5 are Alexis Maxwell tweets.
Okay. Which one of the 5?
It could be none. It could be all 5. Okay.
Were any of them from Missy?
Kalish rules. None of them are Missy. Honestly, I wish I'd thought about that.
Missy or Alexis Maxwell. Yeah. Okay.
Total blindside. You blindsided me with that. Okay. Number 1. OMG. I love that twist of one person being forced into the major role. # Survivor.
Okay. Did you make up the ones that are not from Alexis Maxwell, or are they somebody else's tweets?
Any one of them that are not Alexis tweets, I made up.
I'll say that sounds pretty on brand, but I wonder if you know what her brand is. Could I hear it one more time?
We're Northwestern alums.
Yes. Okay.
OMG, I love that twist of one person being forced into the major role. # Survivor.
One person being forced into the major role. It doesn't really make that much sense. So I'm going to say it is Alexis Maxwell.
That is correct. It's Alexis Maxwell.
I think your fake tweet would have been a more clear thought.
LOL, they are not living there and we all know it. Rob and Sandra are chilling on Ponderosa. Come on.
Conspiracy theory, Alexis. You said you don't care. I could see you're not buying it. I'll say it is Alexis Maxwell.
You're correct. That is Alexis Maxwell.
I know my Alexis Maxwell.
This is not one that's a part of the game, but she's very suspicious this week. She said, seemed like that last ball on the purple team was extra inflated.
Extra inflated? Well, we have a deflate game situation?
Yeah. She just calls it like she sees
everybody
it.
Knows Deflategate is made up fake news. It's not real.
All right.
Total witch hunt hoax.
Can we do someone tweeted a request for a Norwegian Boston Rock. Can you do that?
Yeah. Deflate Gate was a hoax. This is offensive to either Boston or Norway.
Oh, we're way past
that. I don't know.
All right, so back to the Alexis game.
Yeah.
OMG, great television. That thing flying out of her shorts. The suspense. # Survivor.
I think you made that one up.
That's Alexis.
Oh.
Y'all are stupid.
I love how tight challenges are.
I love how tight challenges are. I think that's Ally Lasher.
It's Alexis Maxwell.
Not really.
Yeah. Okay.
And the last one of the game. Ah, this is wild. Check out those communication eyes.
Check out those communication eyes. Did you go all Alexis Maxwell with real tweets?
They're all real tweets.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Smarty pants.
Yeah. There you go. I should have gotten the tip off of, you said you could have gotten the emails at 3:45.
If you think I haven't made up games with 15 minutes before a podcast before, you're mistaken.
Okay. Yeah.
There were so many, I trimmed it from 20 and there were so many funny ones that I like thought I couldn't sit here and just read like 15 tweets from Alexis.
Yeah. What was the total number of tweets for the episode this week?
20.
20. Okay.
And then another one I wanted to read from her that I didn't put in the game is early guess. I think Missy is going to go far, which like, is it still considered an early guess? Like an episode before the merge? That
I mean, I believe we're actually past where Alexis Maxwell got out in the game. So
yeah. It's none of my business.
Yeah. I think it's not early.
Bryce Isaiah says, "What even is this season?" All caps. I love Bryce so much.
What happened in the episode that caused him to say that?
I have no idea. It was all caps. I also like, first of all, I just love that Bryce can carry a podcast by himself. Mm-hmm. Like that is so hard. Brian and I had to record like half an episode by ourselves, and it was like 5 minutes in before I got tired of my own voice, yeah. Believe it or not.
No, he's amazing that he's able to do that. I couldn't do that. And, you know, I've been podcasting for almost 10 years now, and I would struggle with that. And he's done 10 episodes, and he's done it since the first show without a problem.
And they're flawless.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love Bryce.
Yeah. I just like to say, well, maybe he like records it like 17 times to get it right. But I don't think that's the case.
Robert, he doesn't have time to record that 17 times. He's booked and busy.
I know. He's all incredible.
Right. He said, bitch, did he just call the buff a durag? Woo chile. Hashtag Survivor 39.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do love everyone. A lot of people had great things to say about this episode. Like, it was a great moment. Bryce is like, what?
Right. Right.
I love Bryce. All right.
I've never heard a buff described as anything else besides a buff. It was it was just a very bizarre thing to say on many fronts.
To quote the great Bryce Isaiah, it's a lot.
Really was a lot.
This is a lot. Do you know who Jam Man K9 is? I mean, if you're going to go on Survivor, you need to have a handle.
Yeah, I know who like, Jam Man is.
Who is that?
That's Jamal on Twitter.
Okay, so he wrote at Jam Man K9, just won my heart. But if you're going to have if you're going to go on a TV show, get a handle where we know.
Talked about this last week in the social media when we were talking about it through with Frail Mary and with Jordan Kalish. Said, does he work with dogs? Like, is he a dog guy?
I thought it was like K-9. Like,
that's the question. Is he a school administrator that works with grades K-9, or does he work with canines? Like, is he a dog lover? Does he work with like dogs at the school?
It's not a good, it's a 0 out of 10.
Or is it something completely off our radar?
It's definitely not something off our radar. What's his last name?
Shipman?
Okay, never mind. Because it could have been like last initial and then he just likes the number 9.
No, I don't know. Is he a fan of the 80s Jim Belushi movie?
I feel like you want to keep rolling with this, but I just have nothing for you. So.
I don't know. That's going to be that's what we'll start the interview with. Explain. Tell us about Jam Man K9.
God, I'm so worried we're putting this into the atmosphere that you're going to talk to Jamal next week now because of this.
Okay. Well, hopefully.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Quick answer that we can get.
All right. So, and then baby boy Bryce said, what weight did Tommy give us a woo at tribal council? Here, let me finish it for you. Chile. Hashtag survivor. Can I also just say everyone's obsessed with Tommy. I think Tommy's fine. Tommy did not impress me at tribal council this week.
Okay. What did he do wrong?
Well, his pitch of like, we're in the majority, so obviously we're not going to flip and we're going to go to rock. So you could join our giant majority and be on the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, that's a terrible pitch.
Well, I don't know if it was Tommy. I think it was also Dan in the mix of saying like, hey, and then we go back after this tribal council. We go back seven strong. Like, yeah, until we go back to tribal council, then we're not seven strong. We're voting somebody out next time.
See, I thought Dan said that after to like sort of salvage it, because it was like a bad thing for Tommy to have said. Tommy did say like it would make no sense for us to flip on our tribe because we're the majority. So we'll never flip on them. Come with us and we'll just slowly vote you out as well.
Yeah, I do think that it helped their case to sort of like project some strength in numbers in terms of like that none of us are flipping. So join us and then sort of like let's project and show just how strong our group of four is so that you guys aren't that tight. We know that you've been talking smack about each other. So I think that maybe that might be not exactly how he feels, but I think that was what he was trying to put out there.
All right. So let's move on.
I hear what you're saying.
Rob's sister Nino.
Yes.
Who said, at Stephen Fishback, didn't you invent vote blocks? I was thinking that was great.
Yeah, that was like Wednesday night, like sometimes late after the know-it-alls. I was like, oh, I wish I would have said it to Stephen on the show. and no reply from Stephen, right?
I can't see that, but I do love giving you the opportunity to laugh out loud at your own tweet and give yourself a
dig. Thank you.
People don't get that opportunity enough.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Thank you, Allie.
All right. We have to get to T-Bird here. And listen, T-Bird, I don't want a direct message of you judging yourself from the way I'm about to read these tweets. I love you. Please keep tweeting.
Has that happened?
Yes. T-Bird's like, oh, I shouldn't have been like, you know, whatever. I'm like, T-Bird, we kid because we love.
Right.
You are an icon. I am no one. So I'm going to do Rob's impression of you. And you're going to keep tweeting like this because you're the best. Please. I thought you were going to say something.
I have no, nothing to say.
Okay. Right. Like that's like, you don't do her tweets in like a high pitched voice because like you think she's like annoying or something. It's because we idolize T-Bird.
No, I love T-Bird.
All right. Say what you will about at Nora knows best one, but her carrying those sandbags two at a time was really impressive. Hashtag survivor at Jeff Probes. At Sandra D. Twine can recognize good player slash potential winner slash threat when she sees it. Yes, at Elaine Stott is all that.
Yeah.
I want you to say one because I feel like I'm rusty on the impression.
I don't have them. Do you want me to open up T-Bird's Twitter?
Maybe just say something in her voice.
I don't have a voicemail. I just want to say thank you, Allie, for converting me to a challenge viewer during Dirty 30 when you were on the hashtag BB19 recap. So I've binged the challenge hashtag rehap up because I was bored and eventually got super invested in the soap opera that is this show at Lash Tweets.
Now can we do Norwegian T-Bird?
No, we tried this
before. Come on.
I don't think so.
Wow. I thought this was like a yes and thing.
Yes,
Rob.
Yes and. I keep going back to the well. There's nothing there on Norwegian impressions, I don't think.
But see, I think you could do Norwegian T-Bird because all it is, it's like why Russell Hantz were like, it's the tone of voice and the Norwegian and you're there.
Don't have a no. It's not working.
No, that's right. No, that's no. Working. That's Rob. That would have been great. That would have been great. Just give it one try.
I just want to say thank you to Ali for converting me to a challenge viewer. I don't know.
You've lost the thread.
I lost it. Right. I lost it. I don't think we had it.
I love T-Bird. She's the best. All right. Well, we have a couple more T-Bird.
What do you think T-Bird gives out on Halloween?
Just bliss. Like just around her house. I feel like just radiates joy.
I just see her like
wings, probably come, Delta wings.
Maybe. I see like you go to her house. I think she would just be like a person that like was putting like handfuls of candy, like here, kids, take all this candy. Like she would just be like just showering you with candy. I feel like.
Yeah, no, I would love to trick or treat.
She'd be so excited that you came to the house.
I love T-Bird. I think that would be I actually have a question about one of these tweets. It sort of involves the sweets.
Okay.
Sort of on track here. Jeff Probes, the kids are fighting over the donuts. ... Just gonna stay with the popcorn. #Hashtag Survivor. And then she says, @Rob Sister Nino.
Yes. Okay. So what is the question?
Can you explain that?
T-Bird, for all of it, you're really showing that you did not listen to the Talking with T-Bird podcast, because that's T-Bird's gimmick, that she makes
a bucket of
popcorn before every single time that she podcasts.
So no. What's with the kids are fighting over the donuts?
She must be talking about tribal council. Jeff Probst mentioned donuts. So I don't think that her kids were actually fighting over the donuts. So she's implying that the donuts are occupied at her house. So she's had to make popcorn again.
Okay. Don't imply that I don't know what's going on with T-Bird. The kids are fighting over the donuts made absolutely no sense to me.
Well, it made no sense that Jeff Probst was even talking about donuts.
Sure, but you act like, oh, you didn't listen to Talking with T-Bird. We talk about donuts and fighting
about popcorn, and then T-Bird chokes on it.
I'm very familiar with T-Bird's pop affinity for popcorn.
And choking on the popcorn.
What I'm not familiar with is what kids are fighting over donuts would have to do with you.
Yeah. No, only the popcorn part about me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to some non-Survivor people. Andy Herron said, Survivor. I think this is actually interesting and important here. Andy, who is the winner of BB15, spoiler alert, said, Survivor, no live feeds, could easily sweep race issues under the rug, but instead highlights them, raises important questions, and starts a beautiful dialogue about the importance of understanding and listening to one another. Big Brother, live feeds, yet still, ...
Mm-hmm.
Why such different approaches? I mean, maybe you don't even want to talk about this.
Well,
but
I think I could touch on it a little bit. And, you know, this is not necessarily my area of expertise, but I would say that a lot of times that the things that come up on Big Brother these infractions or microaggressions that we catch on Big Brother, they happen often when the person being talked about is not in the room. And we see them, we're sort of like a fly on the wall. The incident with Jamal and Jack didn't happen. You know, Jack didn't call see Jamal's buff lying around, say, oh, look, there's Jamal's do-rag to a bunch of other people, that he said it to Jamal, and Jamal said, like, hey, I can't believe you just said that. And Jamal and Jack had that conversation one-on-one. I think that we got this a little bit, in Big Brother 20, there was a scene with Bailey and JC about and it was like two people like talking to each other, and you know I think that people saw that there were problems with that in terms of what was shown that really happened on the show versus what happened on the live feeds. But I do think that a big part of it was that, you know, we see things that are said about people when they're not around on Big Brother.
All right, there you go. I'm nothing to add to that.
Yeah.
Interesting take.
And I don't think that's all of it, but I think that that's, you know, one of the reasons why the Big Brother really struggles with this, with the live feeds. A lot of times there's things that happen that the person who was being talked about may not even know about.
No, that's interesting. And then that's where I guess they like tried to handle it this season at the end, the big reveal. All right. So Jessica Lise said, who would have thunk it that little KY would come through for the team?
Hey-o.
Phrasing # Survivor.
Yeah.
Mike Bloom said, I'm so intrigued in the editing of the latter half of # Survivor episodes this season. Seems like we've moved on from the A versus B into more of a short list of targets. I think it strikes a good balance of providing legitimate suspense, but still rationale behind the vote. Thought that was interesting.
yeah, there certainly are more potential targets this season. It does not seem to be just like a this way or that way. It seems like that almost anybody's in play.
Also, no real emojis this week, which is why I think people want me to read these tweets. So sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
And then we...
I got a question for you that I forgot to read, but we had a question for you that wanted to know, Allie, could you assign emojis for the players this season? Is there anybody that comes to mind? That's from Katie on Twitter. Anybody that you could assign an emoji to?
Let's see. I would say... let's do like Nora, the like queasy face emoji, like the like what? Like
queasy face.
Not the nauseous, but like the like squiggly mouth, like what face.
Yeah.
Let me look at my emojis. Then let's do a Dean would obviously be the detective emoji.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's nailed easy. That one.
Let's do Jack with the speak no evil emoji for this week.
Good.
Let's give Jamal the trophy emoji. Mm-hmm. That's my fishy. Good. Oh, Elaine's gotta have what emoji is Elaine?
Is there a can of biscuits?
Puncture can of biscuits.
Just a busted can of biscuits emoji.
I feel like Elaine is really just like the party emoji.
Party?
That or just like the hearts around, not hard eyes or not the kiss, but the one that's just like surrounded by love emoji.
Okay.
I think that's Lauren. Does Boston Rob, I feel like he's like the construction worker emoji this mm-hmm. week.
Yeah, I can see that.
And Sandra would just be the palm tree because I really still think her most iconic moment was when she was hiding behind the palm frond.
Yes, yes. Talking to yeah. Vince.
Am I missing anything? Any standouts?
Nobody that I can think of off the top of my head.
All right.
Is Tommy the donut?
Apparently T-Bird's the donut.
Okay, so she's the popcorn.
Well, who knows.
Okay.
And then Shannon Gates already mentioned this point, but I'll put it in her words. She tweeted, I feel the show thinks that vote was riveting because it was won with an advantage. It could have been broken a stalemate given the players an out. It could have broken a stalemate given the players an out. It was kept intriguing by the social / strategic dynamics in the weight of Aaron's choice. People over mechanisms just offers more. # Survivor.
Okay. It's a strong case against less is more on Survivor, or I guess the case for less is more with these advantages.
Did you see Randy Bailey's tweet?
No.
I can't even read it in full.
Oh, that he talked that he's going to have the Randy Award?
Yeah, the Randy Award, Randy money, as opposed to the Sea of Money, is going to go to $5 to any castaway shown murdering a chicken. Congrats, Aaron, for being the first winner. # Randy money.
Damn! Okay.
And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Eric Reichenbach retweeted an Applebee's ad that said, would you rather have drinks with a real vampire or drink a $1 vampire? # neighborhood drink. And Eric
rather have a drink with a real vampire or have a $1 vampire drink or have a giant drink that was the size of a huge vampire? Or is your current relationship with vampires good?
And Eric retweeted it and said, would you rather have a Survivor award with a vampire or no reward at all? Shrug emoji, vampire emoji, quote, bleh, I want Applebee's.
I love Applebee's.
What was the Applebee's tweet again?
Would you rather have drinks with a real vampire or drink a $1 vampire? I think it's because they do the $1 drink deals, right? Mm-hmm. So like...
But does maybe that question even make sense? Would you rather have a drink with a vampire or drink a $1 vampire?
I think, oh, here we go. I've Googled it. Applebee's had an October tiki. Oh, it says I've missed last call on this drink on the website. It's a $1 vampire. It's a tiki rum cocktail served with a cherry and vampire fangs.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
Yeah, you get bit by a vampire, too.
I want to talk about the Karishma thing really quick, yeah. And I'm overstaying my welcome now, but I had a long conversation again with my friend at work about how insane it is to me that she said it was her favorite sit-down restaurant. And then we really worked this, fleshed this out over like 10 minutes, because is it that it would not be insane to be your favorite restaurant is in the one you go to the most, it's accessible, like you go there often, but it couldn't possibly be the best meal she's had, like her favorite meal she's ever had at a sit-down restaurant, you know? So like,
can I ask also, what are the, how do we define a sit-down like, is McDonald's a sit-down restaurant? Like, what, like, okay, like, Pink's hot dog stand. I guess, yeah, they even have seats. Like, what does not constitute a sit-down restaurant? Like, a food truck?
So my work friend said the same thing, because he was like, is it, does she mean a chain restaurant? Like, no, to me, a sit-down restaurant is when you have a waiter or waitress. If you go get counter service and then you can sit down, like on Missy and Alex date, a Dig In, that would not be a sit down restaurant. But if
was that the first location or the second location?
That was the second location. Okay. If you are seated and a waiter or waitress takes your order, to me, that's what a sit down restaurant means.
Okay. So Chipotle is not a sit down restaurant.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So a place with a menu that you place an order with a wait staff qualifies as a sit down restaurant. So does Karishma have places like, is Wendy's her real favorite, but Applebee's is her favorite sit down restaurant?
No, but see, I would suggest that there's no way that, and no offense to Applebee's, right? But like, how could Applebee's be your favorite if you mean like the best meal you've ever had?
Yeah.
But favorite, if it's just like, I love going to, like, I have a favorite Mexican restaurant in New York. Is it the best restaurant in New York? Absolutely not. Is it my favorite? Yes. I go there the most. It's mm-hmm. like, that also has to do with how much it costs to go there. So at first I was like, that's insane that you said that. And now I've warmed up to like, okay, if I were to say my favorite restaurant, it wouldn't be necessarily the best meal I've ever had.
Yeah, I believe she did expand upon this on social media, if I can interject with a Karishma tweet.
Please.
She said, I used to live across from the downtown Philly at Applebee's during law school. I fondly remember late night study breaks at their bar in my PJs and fuzzy slippers, devouring a dessert shooter before getting back to rule against the perpetuities. Getting back to the rule against perpetuities.
What a show off there, yeah. Karishma.
Is that law school talk?
Yeah, the rule against perpetuities is like so complicated that like lawyers aren't even expected to know it. Like, that's not exactly true, but it's like that's.
But then here she is. She has a photo with, it looks like, some nachos and guac and a shark bowl, which I believe was only recently introduced. So this was not like a I want photo proof of the law school Applebee's days.
I can just vouch for someone who also had dark pajama days at law school or pajama nights, like eating out. You don't take photos of those moments.
Okay, that's fine. Fair enough. Okay, so Karishma stands by the Applebee's love.
And no, but I think that suits like where I got to with it, which is like, it's not necessarily like the best meal, but you have an emotional attachment to the restaurant, or like you go there the most. Mm-hmm. Not to shade Applebee's. I've been to Applebee's. I have nothing bad to say about it.
Right.
But, like, it would be crazy.
Like how a lot of people feel about this podcast. It's not the best podcast, but we have the most episodes.
It's available.
It's around all the time whenever you need it.
It's inexpensive.
Yeah. When you're doing something else, like, yeah, we've probably got a new episode for you. But is it the best sit-down podcast? No. We encourage you to be actively doing something else. Don't just sit down and listen to this podcast.
All right. Do you 75% regret having me on, or 25%?
I don't regret it at all.
That's all I have from the social media.
Okay. Well done. Allie, this was a great job by you.
It was a hoot, Rob. Thank you. Again, every time you text me to invite me on, I'm always shocked. I have the best time. I appreciate the invitation.
Yes, I'm trying to see. Thank you very much. I appreciate you accepting the invitation. And I'm trying to see and look at my notes if there was anything else that I wanted to make sure we got to today, but I can't think of anything else.
Oh, I have one more. I have actually one thing.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to go out on this conversation,
right.
But what's Dan's deal? Like, is Dan getting the worst, consistently worst edit in a while? I don't want to say in history, because, like, you know, I don't know that, but Dan like goes from having like the touching issue with Kelly to then he's got the touching issue with the chicken this week. And then he's got a touching issue where he can't keep his hands to himself with the searching for bags. Like, has Dan gotten one decent moment this season?
So it's interesting that you have a I didn't connect all those moments.
So he's got a real hands to himself problem.
Right. So you feel like that going through everybody's bags is one and the same as the personal space issue. And then also that he was the person that had to tell us whether the chicken was a boy or a girl.
I'm not equating like the invasions. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, the person whose bags was searched feels as violated as Kelly did or whatever. But like, it's just, he's never getting a good moment. It's like he's flipping a chicken upside down looking for private parts, which is so insane. Like, it just, he's getting like consistent dodo.
What about when he put the buff onto Jason?
Yeah, I mean, if that's your highlight of your episode, six episodes in, I'm worried about him.
Yeah, he referred to the buff, I believe, only as a buff. So that
it's a low bar.
It's a low bar. We're looking to award points somewhere.
Am I crazy? Like, has he had a decent moment? I mean, you're pulling out all these gems. You're right. I've missed those. Mm.
He was shown after the challenge talking about how this new tribe, they do is get W's.
I still feel strong enough that this is a dud edit for Dan.
I'm not saying it's been good. I don't know if that's necessarily all one thing. I'm not necessarily on my bulletin board able to connect all those dots yet.
I mean, I just did it in three moves.
Yeah. Can I play one thing about the when Dan was getting Jason dressed for the prom? And this is a good final note to touch on.
It's like Dad getting dressed for prom.
Yeah.
I wanted all my years and super thin.
Doesn't have a date, though. Look how shabby is the date.
Now, I thought that was a low blow from Tommy to say that. I don't know if you could catch it at the end of the clip, but he says about Jason, no shot he has a date.
Look how shabby is the date.
Well, what was that about?
So I caught it, and I'm not willing to go full McNichol on Tommy, but like, everybody loves Tommy, and I don't dislike Tommy, and I'm not saying he can't win the season, but I'm not as like in love with Tommy as everybody seems to be. This was a bad look. Again, I don't think he performed well at Tribal. So like, I don't know why we're making Tommy Golden Boy here.
Yeah. Well, why is there no shot that Jason would have a date? I think Jason's a very handsome guy.
Well, yeah, as you said, he's equated to Fishback all the time.
So, yeah, I did want to try to work out what the Survivor prom would be like with you, but I just don't know if there was enough meat on that bone.
I mean, it's not that far off from like a live know-it-alls event. I feel like we're sort of there.
Yeah, and speaking of meat on the bone, one other clip from Elaine.
Big steaks, but I like steaks. So I'm
She's just so cute.
Yeah. All right. Allie Lasher, the great at Lash Tweets. If people want to hear more from you and Brian, is Brian taking a honeymoon? Is he going to get right back to the podcast?
So Brian is off next week, but as far as I know, he'll be back the week after that. But we'll have the great Johnny Langan, who is just sub before, who'll be great on it. And Akiva.
He needs better branding. Joe Foe has much better branding than Johnny Langan.
Well, you know, the branding's in the eye of the beholder, I guess. I told Akiva I would not plug the 32 fans Patreon like he wanted me to, but I will plug that Missy and I are for some reason going to Chester's house to do a beer bracket. Hopefully I back out of that by next week, but if not, you can listen to that. Maybe. And we are still doing the challenge coverage. We've been having a great time. So, you know, it's never too late to jump in.
Okay. All right. Well, Allie, this was great. And of course, you mentioned Akiva. I very much suggest people check out. I think you can jump in for the most part, even if you're a new listener to this week's edition of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, The Masked Renapper. That is one where that the great Shut Up Tim and Puya Zambakili, who is the co-host of our Masked Singer Rehap-Up show, that they got together and they brought in a bunch of Renap personalities, but they also what that Renap is, of course, a lot of there's a lot of overlap with RHAP proper, and that they have a bunch of modulated voices. And Akiva and I, it was up to us to guess who they were talking to or we were hearing from. Very fun edition of that podcast over on robhasawebsite.com if you want to jump into that. And then we're going to have the Wiggle Room. Quick turnaround. We're recording this on Sunday, so 24 hours away from us getting to the Wiggle Room. And then, of course, this week in Survivor, I'll take on Matt Liguori, the great Matt Liguori, on the Jordan Kalish quiz this week, which Allie Lasher is not a fan of the quiz. Loves Jordan Kalish.
Jordan Kalish is famously my ops. So
yeah, he's famously your ops.
Yeah, he's my ops.
Why?
Because like you got to keep it fresh. You got to have a variety of ops. No, well, because I most recently, I think I complained about this on Renap. Like I supported him in the movement that was against his appearance on Renap. And then he like tweeted some smart alecky thing back. And I'm like, don't bite that feeds you.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You really, really shouldn't. You shouldn't bite the hand that feeds you. That does he not know anything?
But I'm looking forward to hearing Akiva on Renap. Twish. He said he was hoping that you guys would forget. So I'm here to remind you that Akiva's due on Twitch this season.
Yes, he is. No, he's not getting out of that. He's not getting out of it. Of course, can I ask you to promote the RHAP Patreon in your appearance here?
Oh, I 100% support promoting the RHAP Patreon.
Yeah.
It's quality content. You get access to Rob, you get access to me in the patron group. I mean, that's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah. What do you think is the number one selling point? What should I be saying on these podcasts?
Definitely access to me. I don't access really understand why anybody would.
Well, I would feel weird about selling access to like you'll be able to be in a group with threads with Allie Lasher.
Well, why? I feel like that's part of it is like you mix it up with people you don't care about on podcasts you don't listen to.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I've heard from like Matt Liguori. We are actually talking about this at Know It Alls that the podcasts you do with Nicole that are bonus content for the patrons is like the best podcast you put out weekly.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Nicole and I will be back together on Tuesday night, probably this week, for our Patron 5 for 5. So we have a lot of fun. We'll probably talk about the bees some more, about the wild phenomenon that happened. I'll call M. Night Shyamalan and give him my notes from today.
How many of those moments do you think you missed? Like, if you hadn't just looked out at that moment, you like never would have seen it.
I mean, in all the time podcasting in this room, that's the most interesting thing that's ever happened outside that window. It's not like when I used to have the old apartment where there would be we had the famous naked neighbor in the early days of the podcast.
Oh, with that, I feel like that's where do we go from there? Like, that's it, right?
I don't know. There was, yeah. So, you know, if you listen to any podcast like circa 2012, you might hear some stories about the woman who lived, who was either not shy or didn't realize like how windows work from that used to live near us.
That's a real sabotage if you're in any sort of contest where you're trying to be the master of your domain.
Yeah.
I hear
yeah.
that's trouble for that sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Well, there was one time where she was entertaining a guest, but we don't need to get into that story either. All right. Allie, is anybody still listening, do you think?
I mean, I've turned this off. Actually, no, I'm always still listening when you say that. So I don't know. Can't relate if you're not listening anymore.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll be back with the Wiggle Room on Monday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.